Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Home court, you standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? I'm home court, you standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? They ain't believing me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around, now they see me winning. I'm home court, you standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
Yo, 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 what's up, world? This your boy, Big Court, from the Holding Court Podcast. You already know what it is. And today's episode is sponsored by none other than the ice cream man himself, Master P, my big brother. He's got this new ice cream, vanilla. I love some ice cream, but this is, I'm telling you, it's rich, it's creamy, it's all of that. It's, you know, this is some next level stuff right here. So y'all go to the grocery store, tell them people, we ain't talking about Baskin Robbins. We need that ice cream, man. So, man, go check that out at your local grocery store.
What's up, world? It's your boy, Big Court, here at the Holding Court Podcast with the beautiful, incomparable, award-winning actress, Jasmine Lewis.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. You see that? Did you like that?
I did. It was so good.
That was some ghetto Johnny Carson shit.
A little ghetto, a little Jay Leno.
In Jay Leno?
Too, a little bit.
But
I like it.
I don't have the chin.
No, thank God.
Nor do I have the money or the cars.
Or that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we take what we get.
Okay. Is that what you do? You take what you can get?
No, I get a
lot. Or you take what you can take?
I take what I can take. Well, you ain't got to bust me out right yet. We've been in this show 1 minute. We ain't got to talk about it yet, dude.
It's all good. It's all good. Man, I appreciate you coming. You and I have become dear friends, you know what I mean? So, of course, I had to have you roll through here.
I appreciate it.
I don't think that you get the credit that you deserve in Hollywood. You know?
Really?
I do.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not saying that from a personal place, because I know you to be a great person,
yeah,
a great human being. But your talent is phenomenal. And the fact that you are able to perform at a high level in a male-dominated business. So even on the business side, you being a producer, you know, a real producer on top of that with
not
many
stick my name on it.
Exactly. Many production credits. So, you know, kudos to you for doing that. I don't think a lot of people know that about you, but we're going to touch on it because that's what we do here.
Touch things.
Touch things. Yes. Yeah. We touch things. We touch ourselves.
We do that often.
You do?
Sure.
Oh, wow.
That's how I stay sane.
Really?
Sure.
Man, you better be careful. That thing might fall off. Kick it around the
it's
floor.
It's been around for a long time, so I think.
It's been around for a long time. How long? That long?
A little bit.
For real?
A bit here and
like
there,
half a century?
No, and don't make me punch you in the face because I ain't scared of you and your muscles.
I know you.
No.
Not. I know you not.
Scared of you.
So let's start from the beginning, you know, because we all know your rise to success and we know you from the movies, but I want to know what Jasmine Star Lewis, what she was, what who that is.
You really said my middle name.
I did. I
on
know
a
you.
Podcast.
I know you.
It's not in the public.
It is.
No, it's
if you
not.
Google it, it is.
It is?
It is. That's how I know it's
hey,
two
Google.
R's or two T's.
It is.
Yeah, see?
Ew.
I knew that shit because I read
it.
Why
do you know
that? Why does Wikipedia know?
Oh my God, I've kept that a secret for 30 years.
You need to fire your team because it's out there.
I need to fire my whole team.
Yeah, that motherfucker's out there.
Wow.
Yeah, all your shit. Your birthday, too.
No, one of them. Like, they had me born in 1962, and then one point they had me born in 1951. So
damn.
None of that is accurate.
Real? I know, right? Because it's like 56.
I thought we was going to stay friends.
I thought we was going to stay friends, but
clearly that's a no.
This is what I do. We go at each other, you know what I'm saying?
We good at
this
that.
This is how we do. This
you did call me do. Slick, though. Slick at the mouth. You said I was slick at the mouth.
You super slick.
I heard that.
Your mouth super reckless.
Not today.
You gonna act right today?
I'm going to do the best I can with some act right juice right in this cup right here.
Okay. You ain't going to jump out of pocket like a handkerchief.
I'm going to try not to.
It's all right. I know how to stuff you back in. So I know that didn't sound right.
At all. It didn't even almost sound
right. I know. We're going to talk about stuffing things in. All right. We're going to be quiet. So let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Wikipedia, Jeff and Star Lewis. Two R's.
It's on there?
Yes. Told you.
I am destroyed right
told
now.
Told you.
Oh, my God.
You got to take it off.
I
don't know how to do that.
I wasn't snitching on you. See? I didn't snitch on you. I seen the shit.
But public record.
Public record. That's your team. Fire them motherfuckers.
Go ahead. What's my birthday?
March 22nd, 1976.
Okay.
76. That's my year.
And?
Okay.
Wikipedia is smart. I believe the internet.
Actually, I thought you was born in 80.
I like you better and better.
I thought you were
born better
in
80. Friends
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I thought you was born in 80.
We're so much better friends now.
All good. All mm-hmm. good. Let's start from the beginning. You are from Ohio, mm-hmm. a suburb of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Cleveland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what is it? I know it. What is it again?
Well, I was born in Columbus.
Columbus.
But I was raised in Lorain.
Lorain.
Which is about 20 miles west of Cleveland.
I think Lorain was on the map recently for the black dude that slapped the white dude in the store with the tea can.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how Maybe not. I don't know.
That's how y'all get down in Lorain?
You know, we got to do what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do.
Okay.
But it's a little country, a little city, all mm-hmm. mixed together, and you just got to survive.
So what was your childhood like?
My childhood was, we've never talked about my childhood.
Mm-hmm. We're going there. We're going deep.
My childhood was very interesting. I come from a multiracial background.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up in Lorain, I didn't go to public school. I mm-hmm. went to private school. My sister, my middle sister, mm-hmm. I'm the baby of three. The school that I went to, we had to get tested into. You had to actually get tested by a psychiatrist, get your IQ evaluated, and get into the school.
Mm-hmm.
I started in kindergarten, so I didn't have friends from another school and want to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my best and got in. My dad, who was a doctor, was a stickler about education.
Mm-hmm.
My middle sister, she's a decent amount older than me. So she had already gotten friends, and she was in like seventh grade, and she didn't want to leave her friends. So she failed the test.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I saw my dad lose it.
Mm.
She failed the test on purpose. He knew that.
Okay.
But going to that school, it was called Lake Ridge Academy. It was in Sheffield Village. And there, in total, from kindergarten to 12th grade, there's 350 students. There were six minorities.
Mm.
John Kim, Jamie Malm. John Kim was Asian. Jamie Malm was Hispanic. There were the McGowans. There's three of them, Kelly, Lenora, who was my age, mm-hmm. and the sister. Can't remember the sister's name.
Mm-hmm.
And one more person. And that was it. Mm-hmm. And so it was an all-white private school.
Wow.
Filled with doctors and lawyers' kids. Mm-hmm. So everybody had money, which was great and terrible at the same time. It's the first time I ever saw drugs. I didn't partake, and all the teachers knew that, but so did all the friends. So I held a Black Beauty in my hand for the first time, which is a pill. It was like this big. It was a capsule.
What kind of pill is it?
All black.
I've never heard of
it. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's an upper.
Okay.
But this was a long time ago. So they were called Black Beauties.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's a capsule. It's about that big.
Mm-hmm.
And because the school was what the school was,
mm-hmm.
you had to ask a teacher to go out and get a drink of water. Obviously, you have to ask if you want to go to the bathroom.
Right.
But to go get a drink of water from the water fountain right outside the door, kids had to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew I didn't do anything, so they would hand them to me, mm-hmm. tell me to go out and get a drink of water. Then the kids that were known to do things would ask to go get a drink of water, have to show their hands. There was nothing in there because I was holding it. I didn't know what it was at the time, and I didn't know exactly what I was participating in.
This middle school?
No, this
High
is
school.
Second grade.
Oh, shit.
Third grade.
Damn.
Fourth grade.
Wow.
All of that.
Okay.
So I would go out, stand at the water fountain, get a drink of water, hand them the pill, and go on back in the classroom.
So you were a mule way back then?
Apparently.
Wow.
I'd never been reduced to a mule, but apparently I was.
That's what you
were. It wasn't that far, but yes, I was a mule.
Okay.
But it exposed me. It wasn't until years later that I understood that they were actually drugs.
Wow.
But it exposed me very young, and you know, I went to that school. I was definitely racially profiled because the McGowan family were black kids. Mm-hmm. Jamie was Hispanic. John was Asian. Mm-hmm. And I was a combination. Mm-hmm. And the white kids didn't understand me or my heritage. They see my parents and they go, well, what are you? And all these things. So it was a bad, it was a terrible time. And I definitely got out of, I graduated at 16 just to get out of school.
Wow.
Just to get out of school. And like I said, you had to take an IQ test every year. Wow. Just.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
To stay in the school. So I was like, I'm going to excel to get out. I've been locked in lockers overnight.
So you were subjected to being bullied
at its lowest. I mean, like the worst part of it.
I never knew that.
The worst part of it. So like, I learned to defend myself very young, but also roll with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I graduated at 16, but before that, I started in the music industry. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to go to school for music, which I did, and I graduated with 2 music degrees. Mm-hmm. But I started touring at 14.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you something. I want to drag it back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting struggle. Mm-hmm. Many times you hear about minorities, you know, just black or brown people, but mixed kids, you know, that struggle.
I think it's worse.
Yeah, because it's like, I understand it's hard to find your place because for this side, you're not good enough. And for the other side, you're not good enough.
And there is no place. I mean, you say you struggle to find your place, but there is no place. Mm-hmm. Where is the place? You don't go on this side, you don't go on that side. And I was subjected to kids that had the money and the means and the lineage not to care about how I felt.
Right.
And I'll never forget, his name was Billy Marshall. He was the headmaster's son. He hated me the most.
Really? White kid? Okay.
He was the headmaster's son.
Right, yeah.
So he was absolved of all wrongdoing at all times.
I mean, call him the fucking headmaster.
Yeah, well, that was private school.
Oh, shit.
That was like elite private school. Not just regular private school. Not Catholic school.
Never heard of that.
Elite private school.
Yeah, I wouldn't have sent my kid there with somebody they're going to call the headmaster.
Oh, yeah.
It's like some plantation shit.
Nope. It was just, that was elite private school.
And so Billy who?
Marshall.
Okay, what did he do?
Never forget him. He's the one that locked me in the locker. He's the one that threw me downstairs. Oh, I mean, it was bad.
Okay.
It was really bad.
So real quick, Billy Marshall, we want to send a shout out to you. Fuck you.
And everybody
everything
that you
stand for.
We're Googling you, Billy.
Billy Marshall.
We're going to find out where you're at, Billy Marshall. We pulling up.
Ohio.
We pulling up.
Yeah. His mother was the headmaster the entire time I was in school. So she was, that's the principal, just in case anyone doesn't know. Mm-hmm. A headmaster is a principal.
Okay.
And so, you know, he could do anything he wanted.
Wow. And do you think that possibly he liked you?
No. Oh. I 100% don't think he liked
me.
You know what? Let me circle back. As an adult, I've never been asked that question.
Yeah.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because, you know, as kids.
He used to pull my hair all the time. I have really long hair. And he used to pull my hair all the time. I remember one time I thought we were crossing over to a better space. We were in 7th grade. Mm-hmm. And we all went to school together. There was only 350 students in the entire school. So everybody knew each other well. We were in 7th grade. And I walked into class. It was French class. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting in his seat. And I'll never forget. He said, Jasmine, you belong on the cover of a magazine.
Mm-hmm. See? He was choosing up.
Let me finish.
Okay.
And I did that too. I was like, oh, maybe he's trying to be nice to me for the first time in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
No, he said, Jet Magazine. Do you even know what that is? And that's what he said to me. So it wasn't a good thing.
That's kind of a compliment because Jet was
not
the
from
shit.
Him. Not yeah, but not from him.
I think
this was
that
not
was
1972.
But I mean, but that was his. I don't know. It's still fuck Billy.
No,
but I'm just saying, maybe he was bad. You don't think that he liked you and just
if he did, how he showed it was terrible.
But that's what little boys do. You know, I didn't have to do that type of shit.
We went all the way.
All the way
to high school. He wasn't a little boy no more.
Well, I mean, he
still hitting me, beating me up, pulling my hair, scratching my face. I have scars now.
Wow. But I mean, he did so much fuck shit when y'all was kids. By the time y'all became adults, he probably was like, well, shit, I got to just keep this train going because she ain't going to fuck with me now. You know, so that's probably how he could get your attention.
You may be right.
I bet you we're going to find Billy. I'm going to find his ass on Facebook.
What's the high school you guys went to?
Billy Marshall?
Lake Ridge Academy.
Okay.
In Sheffield Village.
Find that motherfucker on Facebook.
There's a William Marshall that passed away 2 years
ago. How old was he?
Born in 1975.
No.
No, Billy was younger than that. I'm older than that. So he would have been, you know, okay. He was born. He was.
You guys are about to be pissing on gravestones. And I say,
I'm about to say, won't he do it?
No. Wow. We're going to look him. Okay.
We're going to look him up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're going to pull up on him. Because
I've tried.
Have you?
I have.
Okay. I'm going to help you. We're going to help you with that.
That's going to be a new show where we confront bullies on the
from childhood
holding
actually,
court.
I like
it. Hey, actually,
bully.
Rest in peace to my big brother Tiny. We actually developed a pilot doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, me and him.
I'm into it.
But okay, Billy Marshall. So he fucked with you up until high school, mm-hmm. and you graduated at 16 basically to get away from Billy Marshall and
pretty
his
much.
Bullshit.
And everybody. It wasn't just
okay. Okay. But I mean, I know you, I know you as an adult, but I mean, you know, you're very charismatic and very confident. Were you like that then? I'm sure you still had friends or not.
I did.
Okay.
I did. I had four friends
okay.
that were in the school and two friends that did not go to the school.
Okay. Okay.
And they're still my friends.
Okay.
Today.
So what did you want to be? Like when they asked, raise your hand, what did you raise your hand and say you wanted to be?
I wanted to be in the family business. Both my parents are doctors and I wanted to be a doctor.
Really? What kind mm-hmm. of doctor?
I wanted to do internal medicine.
Okay.
I have a propensity for medicine. It comes easy to me. Uh-huh. And that's what I wanted to do.
You want to be like a proctologist? Like?
Not a proctologist. I believe I could venture to do those things, but no, not a proctologist.
What? I was just saying you was. I didn't know. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what kind of doctor.
I mean, I could test my skills. Would you like an exam?
No, I'm good.
Sure?
I'm good. Yeah, because I got a little Asian female doctor, and
okay,
that's hell.
She can. It is.
Yeah, you know. I had my.
But
prostate,
my fingers are. I got slim. I got piano.
I had my prostate checked like 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, I felt violated. So violated.
See, like my sugar waxing. I'm just saying.
I was like, violation. Oh, Jesus, God, please. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she's less laughing at me.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would have been good at it, though.
Really?
I have a gentle touch.
Do you?
I do.
I'll take your word for it.
You want me to examine you guys?
I'm good.
I could practice.
Good. Ken knocking on 40. It's time for you to get that.
You're not 40 yet?
No.
We're going to practice right here.
You know it's prostate time, Ken.
All right, zoom in.
You know.
You
know it's prostate time, Ken.
Yep.
I mean, depending on how the dating work goes for me, I'll let you know if I end
up. You keep me posted.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys posted.
Okay.
Yeah, that I I've always encouraged. It's so funny because on social media one time I was talking about that, and I know we kind of deviate and digressing a little bit, but I was saying I was encouraging the motherfuckers that follow me, like, hey, especially if you're
what
a black man.
Done?
You know,
sure.
Take care of your health. There's yeah. nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, especially because we already are predisposed to, you know, certain shit, prostate cancer and things like that. So mm-hmm. I'm like, man, take care of yourself.
I mean, honestly, though, everybody, man. My grandfather died at like 52
yeah.
because he didn't do that. He had prostate cancer. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
And you need a colonoscopy, too.
Yeah. He could have just checked and
just mm-hmm.
potentially got rid of that.
Yeah. My doctor just gave me a referral for that.
Yeah. Here it's time for you.
Time. Yeah.
You're old.
Is it time for me?
It is time for you to take the pill, go to sleep, and let him stick something in your ass.
Oh,
can
God.
We say ass on here?
You can say whatever the fuck.
Oh, that's nice. That's
yeah,
good.
Come on. This holding
Let's
court. This is what we do.
Your ass.
Yeah, you're talking about him. So say
no, you're, they're going to stick
Pause,
something
stick
in your ass.
No, nothing being stuck in my ass. My doctor, shout out to my doctor. She's done it. But other than that, no.
Well, that's what I mean. Somebody going to stick something in your ass. Going to see what's up there.
All right. So you wanted to be a doctor.
Yes.
So where did that dream go?
It's still here. It doesn't mean that I'm never going to do it. I had an affinity for music. I started playing my first instrument at 2.5 years old.
Okay.
And I learned to play everything by ear. And then I took music lessons and then I learned to play them better. So, it was something that came natural to me, came easy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never intended it to be a career. I intended to do it just for fun. Mm-hmm. And then.
And what instruments do you play?
All of them, except for wind instruments. So, I started with piano.
Okay.
I went to every string instrument, so guitar. I toured as a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
I play guitar. I play violin. I play oboe. I play everything that
wow.
has strings. And my uncle was a pretty famous jazz drummer,
mm-hmm.
My Uncle Frank. So I learned to play drums very young. I can play anything that you want unless it's a wind instrument. I just never got into blowing.
Wind instrument mean, oh, you never got into blowing shit.
Blowing into shit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very different thing.
Okay, so.
You had to have, you know, strong jaws.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't have strong jaws?
I don't think so.
Really?
Maybe not.
You look like you have a strong jaw.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, yeah. I'll go home and find out.
I don't know.
This podcast goes off the rails about every 5 minutes right now.
Sorry.
Shout out.
Asking.
Shout out to the homie Brian. Salute to you. Anyway.
Good luck with that tonight.
So you say, fuck it. I don't want to be a doctor.
I did. I never said that. I just started.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Touring very, very young. Okay. And I was an anomaly.
So you started touring it when?
14.
14. With who?
Roger Troutman and Zapp. Everybody that was from Ohio.
Really?
You know, Ohio players, like everybody.
Wow.
And there's a group that was my second tour, and I was not quite 15 yet. Mm-hmm. And as a female bass player, I wasn't, you know, they wanted to keep me a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a very famous bass player. He's still around, and he's still very famous. And I'll never forget my first tour. They liked what I did, but they couldn't see. I wasn't allowed to be on stage. One, I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that would look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he was just never plugged in. And I used to sit on the side of the stage behind a curtain, and my mom was back there with me, and I played everything. I could see the stage.
Damn.
So I played everything, and he was out there killing it.
You don't want to say who it was?
I can't know, because they're still touring.
Okay.
Just without me.
So how is he doing this shit and you're not there, though?
I mean, he could always play.
Was he high?
No, not then.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I was better.
Oh, wow. So let me ask you, did you play on the songs or you just played live?
No. I played on songs later, but as a 14, 15, 16, 17 year old, I was just doing tour. I was just touring.
So how did you even get introduced to that world to be in a position?
My uncle, who was a pretty famous jazz drummer, would bring me into the studio. And that's when I met Parliament and George Clinton and Bootsy Collins. Mm-hmm. And I was 13 and a half, turning 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just go sit with my uncle and just watch him, you know, and I'll never forget in the studio next to where he was playing was George Clinton and all of Parliament and most of Funkadelic.
Wow.
And I love the music. So I would just go over there and sit and
it's
watch.
Great music from there.
It's still, I still on my phone now.
Yeah, that's dope. So
and
what
I
was
go
that
sit
like?
And watch.
I mean, you 14 and you hear playing music with
I loved it.
These stars. They
I have a bass
right
now.
There.
My most special bass
mm-hmm.
I got from Bootsy. He literally was there and he was like, this little girl is coming here every day, was watching us. And he said to me, he said, can you play that? And I said, I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I had my bass at the time. And he said, I'll tell you what. He took the bass off of the stand and he handed it to me. It was a Fender Precision fretless bass. So there's no frets on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not played a fretless yet, but I could play upright, which is the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just giant.
Yeah.
He said, you come back in a week. If you can play this, you can have it. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And I learned to play in a week everything he's ever played on every song he had ever played at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I still have that. He gave it to me and I still have that place. And then I ended up playing for them years later, touring with them years later.
That's crazy because a bass guitar is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't imagine you holding something big like that.
I mean,
time chip.
I got long
five
arms
minutes.
And big hands. So
5 minutes. Every 5 minutes.
I'm good at big. I do big well.
Really?
I do big best, in fact.
I mean, okay.
You know, I'm not a big person, but I have an affinity for big things.
Right. Hence why you're on the Big Court Holding Court show.
Boom.
Boom.
With big muscles. There we go.
There it is. Okay. So,
yes.
That's dope. I
that transition
that.
To touring with that. Everyone.
Okay. So what did your parents think about that? Especially them being so educated.
My dad was not excited.
Right. So you didn't go to college?
I did.
You did?
I did, but I went to, I didn't, I think I stepped on campus, what, 15 times?
Okay.
I was doing what I was getting a degree in. Mm-hmm. So they counted that as credits. I had to do undergrad. So, yeah, so I had to do all of that. But as far as getting my degree in music, I have a my music degree is in composition. Mm-hmm. So I can read and write, mm-hmm. which is what I had to do because I was like, you know, if this all goes to hell one day, I can teach. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a degree to teach.
Okay.
So I never really intended on using it, but I have it.
Okay. What school did you go to?
Ohio State University.
Oh, okay. That's in Columbus, Ohio, right?
Ish, yes.
Okay. I've been there before.
You have?
I have.
To yeah. Ohio State or to Columbus?
To both.
All right.
Yeah.
Both. It's where I was born.
Yeah.
Can't get them. They don't make them like me no more.
They don't. They broke the mold.
It's over.
Over. Done. Just I've never saying. Ran into anything like you ever.
No, that's a compliment or what? I don't think so, but
no, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. You're one of one.
Well, there we go.
So you do that. What's the craziest thing that you've seen? Because them back then, them groups was live.
One of the craziest. Yes, they were.
They were live. Especially George Clinton. They were on that LSD man, shit. So,
well, they smoked a lot of weed. They right. did a lot of, they, look,
the hallucinogenics
all public,
was
so
the
they did everything that they yeah. did.
Right.
But that was early, that was before me.
Okay.
They transitioned to mostly weed okay. when I came, as you know, because they're older than me. But
well, so what is this, the 80s, I'm assuming?
Yeah,
because
early.
I mean,
early.
Okay, so they hadn't transitioned into coke yet.
I never saw them do it.
Okay,
but I did see. You asked me the craziest.
What's the craziest thing? Yeah,
that happened has to do with coke, and it was a group that I was not touring with. Well, I was with Roger Troutman and Zapp at the time.
Okay,
touring with them.
Mm-hmm.
We had been on the road for about 2 straight years,
mm-hmm.
and we were doing a show with another group. Very famous group.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only girl ever, except for Shirley Murdoch, who was a grown woman.
Oh, man, I love Shirley.
I love Shirley still today.
Yeah.
But she would come and go. She didn't hang out with the guys as much yeah. as I did. I was everybody's, like, kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty protected.
Right.
And I was just sitting on the tour bus waiting to get off so we could go play. And the other group was on that tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead singer said, bring it to me. And there was a silver tray. A mountain of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a McDonald's straw. You know, McDonald's straws are
yeah,
really thick. They're not thin.
Yeah.
And he took care of it.
Damn.
Walked on the stage and killed it.
Let me see. Let me take a shot at this. It was Uncle Charlie, wasn't it?
I didn't say that.
I'm saying, I'm guessing. I'm just throwing it. It was Uncle Charlie. Wasn't
it was. It could have been a lot of people, to be honest, because
yeah.
everybody was doing a very similar thing.
But I'm thinking of who would be on tour with that group and who got nostrils like that.
Does he have nostrils like that?
Yeah, that boy got some nostrils on.
Does he?
Yes.
You know that for a fact?
I've heard.
Oh, I don't know that part.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, we actually had his dope man on the show.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shout
out to Uncle Charlie.
Who is still classic and wonderful.
Yes, yes. You know what? My mother told me, I bullshit you not on everything that I love. My dear mother told me that Charlie Wilson should have been my father.
She was into it.
She loved Charlie
Who
Wilson.
Who wasn't into Charlie, though?
She
I was
literally
into Charlie
told me
I was
that.
Too young, and I was like,
she
I might
She literally
be into
told
it.
Me that. She said, Charlie Wilson should have been your daddy.
See? Who would you be then, man?
Right. I would still be, I would
You'd
just,
be small,
instead of Courtney, I'd just be little
small.
Charlie.
Right, there you go.
I'd just be little Charlie.
Hey, that ain't a bad day.
Yeah, I probably have, you know, vacuum cleaner noses, too.
We don't know that he does. Have you seen it?
Nah, but I mean, he, you know, listen, he, you know, he, that's public record. He's talked about him overcoming that. So, you know, I'm sure
he did. I hope he does.
Yes,
because
he did.
Such a talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, I saw those kind of things take a lot of really, I think it's why I never touched it.
Right.
Because
Absolutely.
I was exposed to it so young and mm-hmm. I saw it take a lot of really amazing musicians that I admired down.
Same with me. You know, me coming from the environment that I came from, I seen it firsthand and, you know, in
yeah.
real life, it touched my family and all that. So
yeah.
I think when you get exposed to it early, that's why I don't smoke.
It's like you make a decision.
I don't smoke. I don't drink. Mm-hmm. I never have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like being around.
Oh, except
people.
One time you drank and that's how you met your wife and you got the courage.
Oh, yeah. I was a kid.
Right. You said you never
yeah,
drank.
But
I'm saying.
Well,
that's
you
why
know,
you got your lovely wife.
Well, in terms of.
You know, liquid courage.
Well, no, that's not how that happened.
Well, I know what happened.
Yeah. I was on some pimp shit. What are you talking about? I was on some pimp shit. Anyway,
we
so.
Can't stop.
Young Bootsy Collins right there.
You know what I'm saying? So with the, I was drinking that night because I was thirsty.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
It was
them little Cisco shots. You
I know.
Know what I mean?
I know.
No, it was Everclear.
That's like lighter fluid.
Yeah.
I've never had it, but I've smelled it before. I was like, I think I could set something on fire with this.
Yeah.
It's like pure alcohol.
Yeah, I was on one then.
I didn't have my first cocktail until I was 35 years old. I didn't touch anything.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that was a minute ago.
It was like 5 minutes ago. No, I know your minute. That was sarcasm at its best.
I'm an addict on the show. I did everything.
See, I didn't do anything. I think it's because of my exposure.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. So you go on tour. How long did you tour?
I toured for 11 straight years. I never came home.
Damn.
So
14.
That's how I stopped.
Okay.
Is because I woke up on a tour bus in the middle of the night. I didn't know who I was with or where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I think I'm done.
Okay.
That was when I was done.
So, damn. So from 14 to 20, mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What's some of the groups that you played with?
All of them.
Name them. Who are they?
Roger Troutman and Zapp. I mm-hmm. toured with Parliament. I toured with Funkadelic. I toured with the Ohio Players. I played for Prince's first female bass player. That's how he got a female years later.
Wow.
And so for him, I toured for him and for just a year, though. That was just to get out of my Paisley Park deal because he wanted me to be an artist
mm-hmm.
and he wanted me to be something.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The time that I didn't want to be.
Like Vanity?
Yes.
Yeah.
He saw that, but he saw a music. He saw Sheila E. and Vanity smash together in mm-hmm. me.
I could see it.
And I loved Denise. I loved her. She
yeah,
was
for
awesome.
Sure. For sure.
She wasn't the talent that he wanted, but yeah. she had everything else.
Right.
And he wanted the talent that Sheila E. had as a musician.
Yeah.
Mixed with a look.
Yeah.
That Denise had.
I could see that. Because Vanity was dope. I liked yeah. her, but she couldn't really sing, but
no.
she had the look.
She had charisma. She had personality.
Yeah,
she
yeah,
had
yeah.
all that stuff.
She was dope.
So he wanted to turn me into a combination of those mm-hmm. two and basically be naked on stage. And at the time, because I was a female playing a bass, which mm-hmm. is a male-dominated instrument,
mm-hmm.
and I was young, I was like, I'm not trying to be out there and just be a girl in heels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to be more than that.
Yeah.
I get the appeal of it now.
Right.
I ended up doing that later.
Right.
But at the time, I was like, no, you need to take me serious. So I was like, look, I signed, and I wanted out of my deal,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't let me out, and how I got out was touring with him for a year.
Wow.
So
what kind of guy was Prince?
A genius,
mm-hmm.
a scary, amazing genius.
Why do you say scary?
Because you didn't know what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't predict him. There was pieces of you that wanted to, but you couldn't. So you best to let it go and just mm-hmm. figure out what. He was a perfectionist. He would change clothes before he would walk in a studio, not feel his outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Us, we're just waiting there. Could be all night. Because he'd go home and change 15 times until he felt the moment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then he would play. And then you either stayed or you had to go. If he could pick your instrument up and play it better than you, which he could, all of them,
mm-hmm.
you needed to go.
Really?
Yeah. I learned more than anything with him.
Mm.
Anything about not just what I did as a musician, but my attitude, sort of. He was an all-encompassing performer.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot. Like, I needed to be the best at what I did.
Because
he was the best at what he did. And he did it all.
Mm. So was his, like, behind closed doors, was he the same as his public persona? Or was he different?
He liked to cook.
Mm-hmm.
He liked to play basketball for real. And he did it in heels. And he
yeah,
did it better
I heard
than anybody
that.
I ever
everybody
saw.
Everybody says
oh my
that's
God.
True.
But that's 100%
yeah.
the truth.
Yeah.
I watched it. He'll do it in the middle of the night, too. He'd get everybody up out of their bed. We going in the back. He had a place in Beverly Hills at the time because uh-huh. we used to record at Larrabee West, which is in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he would get out there. Everybody get up.
Wow.
We going to play basketball. He could really.
I heard he ran his ship with an iron fist, though. You know, that he pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his way. It was
yeah.
It was strictly my vision. You do it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, that was never a question.
Really?
<Mm-mm. laughs> not if you wanted to stay.
Wow.
No.
So
that's genius, though. I mean, Steve Jobs.
Here's the thing.
You could
we
say
never
the same
had
thing.
A problem with it because we knew who he was. We knew what
yeah.
he did. And how are you going to get mad at somebody that does what he does? You go, how do you want me to do it? And
mm-hmm.
he'd tell you.
Prince.
Once.
Joe Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs.
And that's it. Yeah.
Like, wow.
They're Bill Gates.
But ultimately, you felt the love. He was a good dude.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. He was.
What was the craziest thing you experienced being around him?
Him or anybody around him? He's not here with us anymore, so I'm never going to disparage him, but he couldn't drive.
Really?
Jesus. I'm talking about everybody was scared. We'd all go from the studio. We're going to get something to eat.
Yeah.
There's four or five cars. Mm-hmm. Everybody would run. His brother, Dwayne, looked just like him, but he was 6'4".
Uh-huh.
And his little brother wasn't, uh-huh. even though Dwayne is the younger brother.
Okay.
Everybody run to everybody else's car. Nobody run to ride with him because he can't drive, like, at all. And he get mad, so we can't go nowhere. Somebody get in the car. Somebody get in the fucking car.
Really?
Yeah. It only happened to me once. I only had to get in the car once because nobody would get in the car. He really wasn't a good driver.
Wow. Is it because he could barely touch the pedals or he just didn't?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying he was a little guy. And I know it could be hard to drive in heels.
The shade comes off of this side no, I'm of the saying, road
I fuck
right
Prince.
Now.
I fuck Prince.
Talk about the goat.
He just couldn't drive. I think Michael Jackson couldn't drive either.
Really?
No, I was in a studio. I wasn't playing for him. He was in the studio next to us. We were somewhere else in the studio. And I'll never forget, everybody go out and move your car from the parking lot. Michael's on the way. And he was driving those big Jimmys at the time, those really big ones.
Yeah.
White. Fucked up. Six cars in the parking lot.
Really?
On the first try. Came in the studio and said, now he'll pay everybody for their car, but he said he created art. I'll never forget, he said it was art. All cars fucked up.
Really?
I mean, he couldn't drive either. So
Mike didn't hit your shit.
Not mine.
No, he hit everybody else's shit and came in and said.
It was art.
Oh, wow.
He created art.
I created a masterpiece outside.
Please don't do his voice. Just frightening to me on another level.
I created a masterpiece outside. You guys go out and look at it.
Take a look.
But also, he just cashed everyone out, though.
Yeah, because he knew it didn't feel like art to them. Wasn't
you
art,
know what?
But to him, it was art.
Eddie Murphy told a funny story about Prince. He said that Prince, he seen a T-Bird, mm-hmm. and it was going past his house, mm-hmm. and it was driving crazy, mm-hmm. and a hubcap came off.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was just kind of looking, and the gold makes a U-turn, comes back. He said Prince hops out the car and grabs his hubcap.
Get some.
Yeah.
he wasn't a good driver.
That's hitting a curb. That's usually when it pop off.
Yeah. I had no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you tore up until 25, 26. What made
younger,
you,
but yes.
Okay. What made you, you know, say, okay, I'm done with this?
I woke up.
Okay.
I woke up and I didn't know where I was. And that was a scary thing to me.
Okay.
Because I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't drinking. And you wake up on a tour bus with a bunch. You don't know where you are or who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was moving around and I was like, I think I'm done.
Okay. So then, I mean, what did you feel like you wanted to do?
I didn't know what I wanted to do. I know I had never had a 9-to-5 job in my entire life.
Okay.
I could teach because I had a degree in music, but that wasn't interesting to me. So I literally, this was a time way back then when you could just say, I'm going to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, you know, they say ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Ignorance was bliss because no one said to me, well, you can't just say I'm going to be an actor and then be one.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to be an actor. And I was working with a kid that lived down the street on his music. He was singing. He was like 10 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother, he was also an actor. I didn't know that. I was working.
You're still
on
in
record.
Ohio.
No. I'm out here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm in my 20s. So I went down the street, knocked on their door, and I said to his mom, I said, I know you manage him as an actor. I'm going to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay. And I said, so I want you to manage me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, this was on a Tuesday. I'll never forget it. And she said, well, it doesn't really work that way, but can you read for me? And I was like, well, yeah, I can read. I didn't know what I was so, you know, yeah. I was like, I didn't know what you meant.
Right.
She was like, let me give you some sides. And I was like, what side?
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah. So she said, just read this.
Yeah.
And it was 2 pages. Mm-hmm. And I read it. And she's like, oh, you're good. And I was like, okay, let's go do this then. Let's mm-hmm. go be an actor. And she's like, I'm going to manage you. The next day, she had me a meeting with an agent, but not like an agency.
Right.
An agent.
Mm-hmm.
It was one guy, one office, one phone. He didn't even have a secretary. That was the next day. And he said the same thing, read for me. Well, I got it this time. So I was like, I know how to do it. I know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So I read for him and he said, I'm going to take you on. And he said, where's your headshot? I said, I don't have a headshot. He said, what about a resume? I said, I don't have a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, we got a good start here. That was sarcasm.
Right.
he knew someone over, he knew a casting director that was casting Martin. Mm-hmm. And the very next day, so now we're on day three. Mm-hmm. I had my first audition for Martin. It was only one line. And mm-hmm. my manager called me and she said, you need to go in and you need to read what they tell you to read and then come out. Mm-hmm. She said, you need to wear a dress. I said, got it. I showed up. I read. I left. That night she called me and she said, you booked the job. I didn't know what she was talking about.
Wow.
I had moved on to something else. It was that evening, but I had moved on to something else. And she was like, remember you went in for Martin? I was like, oh, yeah. She said, you booked it. I was like, awesome. Mm-hmm. On that Monday, I was on set for the first time.
Wow.
And
so that was, how long was that from the time that you told her, I want you to manage me?
4 days.
Wow.
Well, see, Tuesday, I had her. Wednesday, I had an agent. Thursday, I went to the audition. Mm-hmm. Thursday evening, I found out that I booked the job. And on that Monday, I went to work.
Wow. Never took an acting class up at
no.
that point.
No, wow. no. And I went to work and I stood around on the soundstage when it wasn't, I only had one line. So I had a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. And that was back then when you do a week, you do Monday through Friday. You didn't shoot till Friday. So you just rehearsed mm-hmm. and fooled around mostly, just played around. Mm-hmm. And I stayed on set. When everybody was at lunch, I was on the soundstage. I was looking at everything. I was watching everything. Mm-hmm. And, I just did my one line and.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I literally had another audition on that Monday. We shot on Friday. I had another audition on Monday, but now I have a resume. I have one thing on my resume. Mm-hmm. But it also made it so that I could join the union because I had a speaking role on a TV series.
So back then it only took one?
I was Taft Hartley then.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I went to my next audition on that Monday, booked that job, and I didn't stop working for maybe 15, 16 years straight.
Wow.
And I got my first series regular less than a year after I got in the industry.
Wow. Which was?
Good News.
Good News. Now, who was on that show? And what
David
network
Ramsey,
was it on?
That was on UPN. That was when okay. we should just go to UPN and everybody worked all the time.
Yeah, I remember UPN.
You didn't ever not work. Mm-hmm. Whether you were series regular or guest star or recurring or show hopping. It was constant. You just could go to work. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it is now. But yeah, it was Good News and David Ramsey was on there and mm-hmm. Guy Tori and mm-hmm. Tracy Sherelle Jones. We're all still friends.
Okay.
And that was my first series regular. And that was the first time that I was like, so you want me to do this TV show mm-hmm. from Monday to Friday? Usually on Monday, we just did the table read and everybody would eat the really good food and go home. I was home by 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. The only long days were Thursday and Friday. And I was like, you going to pay me $16,000 a week to do this? I'm in.
Wow.
And that was a low paycheck. At
right,
the time.
Right.
That was my
right,
first series.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'm doing what I'm doing.
And so that went on for how many seasons did you get out of that?
No, we only did two seasons. And that was okay. because we were actually the number one show on UPN. Mm-hmm. But Ed Weinberger, our EP, who is still around, and he's the one that created Mary Tyler Moore and Taxi and all those classic shows. And Amen. Mm-hmm. We were,
I
Good News
Amen.
Was a young version of Amen. Same thing, yeah. set in a church, yeah. pastor.
I still love that.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. you've never seen my show, Good News.
I remember it. I don't think that really? I ever watched it, mm. but I do remember it, though.
Okay, well,
yeah,
we'll
I wouldn't.
That.
Because
Good
mean,
News was awesome.
Yeah, I was really young at the time.
Not that
so,
young.
Yeah.
You know what? You got about one more young than you. And
no,
you're
but
have to arm wrestle for this one.
Nah, I do remember the show though.
It
I
was
do.
A good show. Yeah. He was Hollywood royalty, mm-hmm. yeah. and the next season, UPN, the president changed to somebody that was that did not like Ed, because apparently 25 years before that day, he was Ed Weinberger's intern. And Ed pushed his desk out onto the street. Ed was a yeller. He was, he just, it is what he was. That's what he did. He would scream and shout at everybody, and he didn't care, you know. But people respected him. And he yelled at him, and he pushed his desk onto the street. And obviously, he quit. And Ed said, basically, fuck you. Please don't ever come back. 25 years later, he canceled our show and Good News in one fell swoop as soon as he became president. Not because we weren't great. We were the number one and two show. Ed had Sparks and Good News. Number one and number two show. And he took him away.
Sparks was Wes Nunez. Was that
Miguel?
And
Terrence Howard.
Yes, I remember that.
Because I was doing episodes. We would also go back and forth because they were sister shows, obviously. And so we would do guest stars on each other's show. And the upfronts, that's when you they're announcing the new shows that are coming out. We knew we were the number one show. How are we not coming back? So we were all packing our bags. And usually you hear if you're not picked up again months before the upfront. So you can just go get another job. They'll release you from your contract and you can go get another job for the actors. We weren't told that. Ed wasn't told that. He waited until the night before. Ed was already in New York. Our tickets are as a cast were booked to go to New York to do press. And we were called and said, oh yeah, by the way, you're not coming back. And he told Ed in the press conference in front of everyone.
So he waited. He held on to that grudge for 25 years. And Ed knew what time it was. He knew that.
I think he was caught off guard. He wouldn't have been in New York. He didn't
really
know.
But once he did it, he knew what it was about.
Oh, 100% he knew what it was about.
Wow. 100%. How did Ed respond to that?
I don't know. We didn't. We were done. So we all went on other shows.
So so you leave Good News. Then what do you? Because you started in TV, basically. You hadn't done movies at
I had done independent movies, but not like independence, but not a studio movie yet. And then right during Good News, I did How to Be a Player.
How to Be a Player. How to Be a Player.
I mean, one of my favorite movies as a kid, How to Be a Player, was dope.
Really?
Yeah.
Which part was dope?
Dope movie.
I'm saying, so you had to.
now there's some hate.
No, I'm saying, so, so How to Be a Player, right? I know you and I spoke, and you told me about the situation with How to Be a Player.
Which I cannot talk about.
Really?
I talked to you.
But the thing.
It was a bad thing.
Yeah, but it
it wasn't supposed to happen, but I ended up topless on the movie. But I wasn't supposed to, it wasn't supposed to happen. No.
So everybody saw your tatas on How to Be a Player.
Running down the stairs, apparently.
You
so
remember
bouncing.
That part? Yeah. You do?
Ew, really?
You said yeah.
Really?
Damn. So you're sitting right across the table from her looking at the infamous tatas from How to Be a Player.
I mean, this is Hollywood, bro. I've been around for 20 years. There's a lot of tatas in the industry. Are.
So how did that feel?
Except mine are real. Just saying.
Are they?
100%.
Really? No.
although I do remember the movie, so I'm interested on how they ended up.
It just, they didn't have a nudity waiver for me. And and they everybody else that they that was naked had a nudity waiver, and I didn't want to do that. And then I was told one thing, and something else happened.
Wow. So how did you feel once you saw it?
Violated. I didn't do any press for it. I don't know if I'm not on the poster. I didn't go to the red carpet. I didn't go to the screening. I didn't the premiere. I didn't do any. I didn't promote the movie.
So just so I understand, that wasn't even supposed to be in the movie.
No, I was supposed to just be running down
the stairs.
That
but so now you see the movie with everybody else just
I did.
See yourself nude and you didn't think it was going to be that. Wow. So how did you feel when that
happened? Not awesome. Violated. Much like the sugar waxing.
Did you cry?
No.
You didn't cry?
No, I'm not a big crier.
Okay.
I am.
Did you feel angry?
I felt very angry.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you want to go do something to him?
Yeah, but you know.
You
want
to
go
fight.
To jail.
You want to fight.
I'm used to fighting.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't fight though.
Okay.
Yeah, I took matters into my own hands and
really?
I feel very vindicated.
You pulled up.
Yeah, in a way.
You wanted all the smoke.
In a way, I really did. I know. I am a fighter. I try not to though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So Damn. So you felt violated from them showing your breast and how to be a player.
Because I don't have a problem with showing my breast.
I understand.
I have a problem when you tell me you're not going to, and then you
do.
It
was the way they did it. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I didn't at the time want to show them because I was very new in the industry.
Right.
So I didn't give them a nudity waiver for that reason.
Right, right. So
fire me and hire someone that wants to be naked. That's okay. Half the girls in the movie was naked and they're okay with that. No judgment.
Right.
It wasn't for me.
I'm curious. So being that your parents were, you know, what was their take on that? They didn't. Oh, they were like.
My mom is a Caucasian woman and she's very free.
Okay.
So, you know. Nudity wasn't a big deal.
All right. So she's kind of, was she a flower power type?
No. Not because she was a professional.
Okay.
But I'll never forget my mom. Every time she would come home, mm-hmm. the first thing she would do was take off her clothes walking through the house.
Okay.
And get to her room eventually.
Okay.
And find a robe.
So nudity wasn't a thing.
Not a thing.
Oh, okay.
Still isn't a thing for me.
Okay.
When I choose that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I naked is good.
I've been around
choice is the key word.
Naked.
No, I mean, right. Choice is the key word. Choice. And no, and that's probably for a reason.
Right. I ain't supposed to see you naked. Right?
I'm just, what would be the occasion?
I know, right?
That would happen.
I mean, we've been done production. You ain't never said, hey,
well,
let
you
me.
Know, I haven't been on camera. And also, I didn't walk around saying, you know, I'm just real hot.
Right.
I'm going to take off my clothes right here.
So, all right, how to be a player. So that was your first studio movie.
That was my first studio movie, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Which led to what opportunity at that point? Because now...
A lot of things.
I mean, so now you're in the Hollywood circles.
Yeah.
So now you kind of...
That led to an ABC show.
Okay,
My character was a madam.
Mm-hmm.
And she was...
What was it?
I remember the audition. It was called Line of Fire.
Okay.
And I remember the audition. I was... The character was supposed to be a 40-year-old white woman because she was playing the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she was playing the wife of a guy, but she was also a madam.
Mm-hmm.
And my agent sent me in, and I remember saying, did I get the wrong sides? Like, I was very confused. And she was like, no. But Mary Jo Slater was the casting director. That's Christian Slater's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she always liked to cast, like, bring in one or two people completely outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's still like that. I was one of those people. So I walked in. The most relaxed I'd ever been because I was like, I don't have a shot in hell, but I like Mary Jo, like this casting director, she knew me well. And I was like, she's bringing me in just probably, you know, throw a wild card in there. So I was like, I'm just going to go have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go home and go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I went in, I had some fun. And I remember her saying, sit in the waiting room. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought everybody else in and nobody in that room looked like me. Nobody. And I sat and sat and I was getting hungry and hungrier. Because, you know, I like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can I go now? Because it's over. And she's like, yeah, can you come back in to the room for a second? And I was like, sure. And Rod Lurie, who created the show, he's a show creator. And it was a little bit about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like black women.
Mm-hmm.
He was an older white man and he liked black women. And he said to me, he said, you were really, really, because I had a meeting with him mm-hmm. right then. But I had been there for hours. And he said, I really liked what you did. He said, this character wasn't written for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but if you'd like to do it, I would really like you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, could I play a madam in a brothel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, so let's do this. And then it wasn't until later that he told me, he said, I want to let you know, we were on set by then. We were working. And he said, you look like my very first girlfriend.
He was shooting a shot right there.
Yeah, he had that casting couch ready for you.
No,
shooting a shot.
He was married by then.
He had plastic on the couch.
He liked black women. And apparently I did. I looked like his very first girlfriend. And he was like, I just like, you know, you brought me back. And I was like, okay.
So
it was ABC. I said, I'll take you back.
So speaking of that, though, I mean, so now you have arrived. I mean, you're in Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and you being an attractive woman, I mean, has that...
Emma.
Always been, huh?
Emma.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
right. I know, have you ever been indecently proposed, you know, for a role? Like, you know, because you are an attractive woman and we know how this business can be. Like, you have any experience
have
with that?
Have I ever been indecently proposed?
Proposed to?
Yes. Proposed to for a part.
I don't think so.
Right.
I think that obviously I've been in rooms, mostly once it gets to a producer session, mm-hmm. where I have been definitely told you're attractive. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't think I have mm-hmm. ever been put in a position to feel compromised. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I respect all the people that's happened to and that have passed on the opportunity because they didn't like the way it came right. to them. But I started getting established more at a time when it wasn't as prominent as it is. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it became really prominent and prevalent, I was already established. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't go there. You either offer me a job or not, because right. it is what it is.
Right.
Maybe it's just how you carried yourself, because I think it's always been prominent.
Maybe.
Men,
it was.
I didn't
face it, really. And if I did, I missed it. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, think that I'm slow, so I would have seen it. And I maybe it is the way I mm-hmm. Project yeah. mm-hmm. myself. I don't know. But it's never really happened to me.
Okay.
No, I don't. It's interesting. I've been hit on after the job was already in motion. Mm-hmm. Like, we were already on set.
Right.
And it's like, you want to go to dinner? Nah, I know what dinner means.
Yeah.
We ain't eating.
You wasn't trying to get eight? I mean, go eat?
No.
Okay. I slipped out. I said you wasn't trying to go eat?
I am with my sugar wax now. That's all I want now. I'm kidding. No, I didn't.
Okay. Okay.
No, I didn't. And, you know, like I said, I was propositioned in the most minor way possible.
Gotcha.
Because I think I had a bit of a reputation, like, please don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you commanded respect. I mean.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No Me Too moments for Jasmine Lewis. Oh, pause. Maybe there is.
Not exactly. Not for a job. Something did happen to me.
Really?
That I've never, ever, ever publicly spoken about. My husband knows.
Mm-hmm. You ain't tell me?
Mm-mm.
How the fuck you ain't tell me? I mean, I'm your dog.
My husband knows, and the guy that I was with at the time,
mm-hmm.
my boyfriend knew, mm-hmm. who was actually my fiance.
Really? Because
he was there.
Something happened while your boyfriend was there?
Not in the room.
Okay.
We were out of town. We were promoting a movie.
Okay.
Me and another actor. We were promoting a movie.
Okay.
This actor has been publicly called out, and he's done a lot of bad things.
Is that the person that?
Yeah, it happened.
Who is it? I mean, if it's public.
I can't.
But you said
I've never. Public, it is, but it's okay. Never. I've never spoken about it with regard to myself.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting because when the move, this was before that, mm-hmm. but when all the everybody started talking about mm-hmm. things, me and one other actor that's a friend of mine, mm-hmm. it's happened to both of us in different ways, but with the same person.
Really?
Yeah, we both said, we're just going to be quiet.
And why
we chose. You don't know him personally, I don't
okay.
think.
Okay.
But you know of him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's pretty easy to go through the movie list here and just, you know, narrow it down.
Oh, so you worked with him?
Yeah.
Oh.
We were promoting the movie. We were out of town promoting the movie. We were in Vegas. And and
we got Bill Billum.
We got his friends in
so
town.
We got to pull up on Billy from Columbus.
And Billy Marshall.
Now we got this other actor nigga.
So I never told you.
You never told me, but I know you'll tell me. So we're going to pull up on
him. It was bad. We were in Vegas. We were signing posters for the movie because the movie was out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were done. So we were staying in a hotel, all of us, everybody. It was just, they were sending different cast members out to different cities to promote. And I was paired with this person because we were both sort of easy, off the cuff, and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could just go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it interesting. It was just sort of like a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
We were signing posters. We were all done.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget what I had on. I had on a jean jumpsuit that zipped up the front.
Okay.
And we were done. We've been out there for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Going back in the hotel. You know, Vegas hotels, it's a lot of floors.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like near the top of the floor. We were both all staying on the same floor. And I was in the elevator, and he had two male friends that were in town just to see, you know, hang out and whatever. But, you know, you worked with someone, and then you've been doing promotion with this person, you think that's your friend, and you're very comfortable.
Right.
So getting in the elevator with him and his two friends in a Vegas elevator to go, you know, 42 floors up wasn't a thing. We were just talking in there, and he looked at his friend, and his friend pushed the emergency stop. And he said, you're going to finally give me what I want.
Really?
I thought he was kidding. I started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, I had really high heels on.
Mm-hmm.
And he came at me to try to unzip my, mm-hmm. and that's when I caught his hand mm-hmm. right here. And I was like, you're not going to unzip a big guy.
Okay.
Pushed me back, tried to unzip it. We were fighting now with my zipper because I realized
his friend is in there watching. Two friends are watching this. Wow.
And kept the elevator from moving. And people are trying to make it move again because mm-hmm. they're on different floors. Mm-hmm. So it would start moving and they would stop it again.
Mm-hmm.
We were fighting with the zipper. He got the zipper down and tried to pull it off of my body. Mm-hmm. Now we're fighting. We're both sweating. And I was like, no.
Right.
And we fought and we fought. And we went up and down. I'll never forget. We stopped on a floor, opened up, and there was a bunch of people trying to get in the elevator. And his two friends stood in front of the door and said, "You're not getting on this elevator." And he got my jumpsuit off of me, like the top of me, but it was still on my waist.
Mm-hmm.
I got out on our floor. I managed to get out on our floor. He jumped off. Like I said, I had on really high heels.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to stop me by tackling me. He mm-hmm. jumped on my back. And you know how like those long halls in the casino?
Yeah.
I carried him on my back fighting till I got to my room and I started banging on my door. And I was screaming all the mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. But it's Vegas. Right. Who ain't screaming in a hallway?
Right.
And my fiance at the time came out.
Mm.
He was in the room next to our room.
Mm.
He jumps off, goes to his room. And now we are looking a mess, both of us. I just pushed him back in the door. We went in our room and I told him what happened. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I'm going next door." And I was like, "I don't want you to go next door. I don't know what I want to do, but I don't want you to do that because that's going to end up in a fight."
Mm-hmm.
He goes next door anyway. He,
as he should,
denied right. everything absolutely. That happened, but he saw me.
Yeah.
He saw. He
ain't
knew.
No denying.
He knew.
He shouldn't even been talking.
No, he was. He talked. On site. He talked through it. Yeah, it didn't happen. He talked through it, came back over about an hour later, and he said, "You know, he's going to leave you alone." And I was like, "Okay."
Shit.
And that was that. No, he definitely tried to rape me.
And listen, I didn't shot at niggas for taking my old lady's parking space. That really happened.
Have no doubt about that.
Yeah, so
I don't doubt that at all.
Yes, that really happened.
Different cut. It's a different cut.
Yeah, that's on site. Yeah. Damn, I'm sorry that happened to you, baby.
Yeah, it's speak for years.
Dude ain't got his comeuppance yet though. Ain't nobody serving.
Oh yeah, he's been convicted.
Really?
Of rape, assault, a lot of things.
Okay. Sodomy? Is that what the...
Yeah, but a lot of things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sodomy too, but a lot of things.
I don't know why you just don't say put this motherfucker on blast.
It's been too many years.
Really? Put him on blast. I mean, do it on this show. So then if he mm-hmm. feels some kind of way, he can pull up.
I know.
We'll put we'll put our address so he can pull up right when you say his name.
Burbank, California.
Yeah, we can let him know right
now. We've spoken since then.
And you spoke to him and said what?
It was years. Before I did,
ain't no
and I
no
ran
disrespect.
Into him at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Well, if I say this, then you're going to know. So I worked with him again.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how did that go?
Not well.
Okay.
Because another cast member knew about it.
Was it on a movie or TV show?
It was a movie.
Which one?
One of them. But another cast member knew about it, and this cast member didn't play. And It wasn't.
So what was his, so you worked with him.
He pretended like nothing happened.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, homie sick. Homie sadistic
yeah.
like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Wow.
Very sick. Hours.
And he still, is he still working?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like yeah, you're going to have to talk to me off camera and let me know who that is.
Going through the list.
Like it's all good.
Damn. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. I mean, I'm glad that he wasn't successful and that fighter spirit of yours, mm-hmm. you know, kicked
One of us was going to die and it wasn't going to be
yeah.
me.
Yeah. But your ex should have handled that, though. You know what I mean?
That's why he's an ex.
Yeah. Yeah. He needed to be an ex. Because it'd have been all bad. I'd have fucked up the church's money
bad.
For real. Yeah. I'd have been still locked up for that. Ain't no talking. What the hell? I'm going to go talking about, he said he wasn't going to do it again. The fuck? I made sure he wasn't going to do it again. He ain't going to do shit again.
You know, it's sad because I will never forget one of his friends in the elevator actually mm-hmm. had me by my arms at one point because I was using my arms so much because I wasn't going
to
let him get that zipper.
Yeah, they were supposed to mm-hmm. get it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole squad.
Yeah, he's supposed to park all of them.
The only reason he stopped them from holding me is because I said, how much of a little bitch are you that you need two other guys in here? And I'm I was 115 pounds at the time. And I said, and you can't do this by yourself? Wow. And that's when he told them to let me go. Because that was my only shot at making.
So that was they get down. That obviously was that's maybe how they get down.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what other motherfuckers going to sit back and watch? Yeah. Like, I ain't going
to. All their job was to keep the elevator from opening.
Damn.
I don't know if I could watch that on anyone.
That's crazy.
Just
that's
in public
crazy.
In general.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
I might have to stay to them.
Man, listen. Like
that's
I said.
That's what they do, though, I think.
Yeah, that's their get down.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, most of the fights that I've been in my life have been from standing up for other people who couldn't stand up for themselves. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'd have seen that. If I were to ever see that, I'd probably be going to jail, you know. So, wow. We'll have to talk about that. So, so you overcome that. So, I mean, now what kind of effects, psychological effects did that have on you, if any, moving forward in the business?
It made me more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was relaxed before that.
Right.
But it made me more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't really let it affect my job, but it definitely had a psychological effect on me. I didn't trust as easy as I did before.
Yeah.
I was much more guarded.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And you know, I'm like that with you too. You know what I mean? You know, I ride you. Pause. You know what I'm saying? You know, I be on your ass. I'm like, man, why are you going there? And don't wear that. Like, don't be talking so much to them. Don't do that, man. Get the fuck in, get out. You don't need to be friendly with them.
That's true.
I tell you that all the time.
I know.
Yeah. So, okay. So you move forward from doing, from that situation. Mm-hmm. And so now you're making movies.
Yeah.
So where does so your most popular movie would be? I know which.
I think Barbershop.
Barbershop.
Series.
Would that be the most successful?
Successful as far as movies or anything?
Yes, movies.
Like made the most money?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe because it was a franchise.
Okay.
So probably, yeah. We did well. We broke records our first movie.
Absolutely. What was that experience like? Like the barbershop, being involved with that. How did that come across your desk?
I was the girl, the it girl.
Yeah.
I was one of them.
Because you did a lot of music videos too, right?
Well, but years before.
Yeah.
That was before I was an actor.
Right, right.
I wasn't an actor.
Didn't you have, a story that you told me with Tupac and Suge?
Yes. Oh, bad. Yeah.
What happened with that?
Yeah. I was doing music videos. But I don't think I was even acting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't doing music videos because I was still in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't doing music videos except for any reason that it was just fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I wasn't desperate for a job.
Right.
So I could walk away.
Right.
And I liked Tupac and he liked me. Like we were good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember which song it was, but I remember we were shooting in a house,
mm-hmm.
and then we finally went to the beach when the sun started to go down because they wanted that beat, that, you know, twilight.
Golden hour.
Yeah, that beautiful, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I remember Tupac saying, everybody was just sort of talking. We were setting up for another shot. And I was there with a girlfriend of mine. And he said, oh, the strippers are coming now. And they were bringing real strippers. Girls to the to the beach, and I'm not sure if they was gonna be in the video or for the side. I'm not sure what they were for.
Yeah,
but I was like, I think I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't realize is that you can't just leave the music video.
Okay,
because they're still shooting you.
Right,
and I was like, no, I'm done. I'm not gonna be out here with some strippers.
Yeah,
because I don't want anybody to. And like I said, it was twilight, so the sun was going down, and they were all drinking, and I was not. So I was very clear-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think I'm good. I'm going to go. And my friend said, I want to go too. She said, I'm nervous. So I was standing near this big, like all these rocks on the beach. And I said, hey, I'm about to go. And Tupac walked over and he said, why? I said, because I'm not comfortable being here with strippers and all of you guys. And like I said, everybody was drinking and they was high. And I was like, do your thing, but I'm good. I'm going to go. He said, well, but you can't go because we're still shooting. And I said, well, I'm done now. And he said, well, you know, you're not going to get paid. And I was like, okay. It was like $1,000 or $2,000 or something. Like, I was like, I'm good. So my friend said, I'm going to leave too. Suge walked over and he said, you ain't going nowhere. And I was like, well, I'm going now and I'm taking her with me.
Mm-hmm.
She got really scared, my friend. And he ended up pushing me back on the rocks. I still got these some scars from falling backward on the rocks.
That should pushed you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I remember Pac said, don't do that. Like, leave her alone. If she want to go, let her go. It's okay. And he was like, no, I said, I'm going to go and I'm taking her with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was started to walk away and he was just pushing me. And I had to walk up an embankment to get to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking up there. We didn't bother to go down there to go to the steps. Well, I'm like, we leaving right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he threatened me. He said he going to get all his homegirls to come and kick my ass and do all these things. And I was like, okay, come on to the valley, knock it out and do what you need to do. But I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget looking back. And he said, I really didn't think she was going to leave.
That's what Suge said?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You said that. And
which video was this?
I don't remember the song. I can look the song up, though, because they did do the video.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we shot a lot in the house and before we got to the beach. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I was in it. Mm-hmm. Like, they cut me out.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Uh-huh.
But the threats that came from him, just because I wanted to leave, I was like, look, you got your strippers here. What do you need us video girls for?
So needless to say, when he got jammed up, you didn't feel too sorry for him?
Not a little bit.
Not a little bit?
Not even a little.
You ain't wrote Suge while he there?
Nah.
You ain't gonna put nothing on his book?
I put nothing on his book. You was gonna put that next.
You gonna put shit on his book?
Nah, I think I'm good.
Okay.
Because how you gonna push a girl down?
Nah, that's real.
Why?
That's,
for what?
That's some whole shit. Yeah, that's some whole shit. Yeah.
Push me down.
Wow. So
after the elevator or before the elevator incident?
This is before.
Jesus Christ.
Damn. Mm-hmm. So you got bad luck with big old niggas.
Apparently.
Yeah, damn. Except for me. I'm the only big nigga been nice to you.
You've been nice.
Yeah. I ain't pushed you down yet. I ain't got you in the elevator or nothing.
You
didn't jump on my back.
He
threw you jump on my back.
I know, right?
Dude, yes.
Shit. We got an elevator in this month.
Go practice.
Nah, I'm sorry. I want to make fun of your trauma.
It's okay. I'm not traumatized anymore. I'm good.
Not anymore?
Nah.
Okay, because I got hella jokes I want to say.
I know. I can see it already.
I'll just get you off camera, you know what I mean? Great. Next time we go somewhere, we in the elevator, just know it's coming.
You going to jump on my back?
Fuck with
Wait till I have heels on,
I'm
going
to stop that motherfucker.
If I'm in there.
I might lose it, though.
I'm tell her, King, get her. Hold her hand.
You don't know what's going to happen. Jump out of me. I'm just saying.
So
traumatized.
So the barbershop franchise. Now tell me how'd you come across that? How'd you get hooked up with that?
I was around, you know, just auditioning and doing stuff, and I was on a show at the time as well.
Which show?
It wasn't Line of Fire. Let's see, that's 2000. I'd have to look at my resume to be honest. I just know I was
That's what
I've been around a long time.
I've
done 64
movies
and 100 TV shows.
Wow. That's impressive.
So, long time.
Yeah.
But I was on a show at the time. Okay. I don't remember what it was. And I got the audition and I was with Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, shout out to Kevin.
Yep.
The homie Kevin.
And me and Kevin had a plan to go have seafood at the beach when I got the audition. And they were like, well, you need to come in tonight. And it was nighttime. And it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
It was some bullshit, too. Because I was like, we out here in the rain. I ain't trying to go to no audition in the rain. And I got to. So I honestly, I was like, look, this is a super high profile movie because it's Ice Cube.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I ain't going to get this. Because this is when Gabrielle was, you know, everybody's Jada, Sanaa, everybody.
So you were basically competing with them for the role.
Yes. But there was also 500 other women that were doing the same thing.
Okay.
So I was like, Kevin, I ain't even gonna learn these sides because I don't have a shot in hell for this. Mm-hmm. And I'm good. I was on a show. I'm like, I'm happy. Let's go have some seafood.
You was the it girl.
And he talked me into going. And I was like, I don't even know the sides. He was like, look, just you, I'll go with you. It's down there where it was in the marina.
Uh-huh.
And he said, we're gonna go and eat right after. I said, oh, okay. That's how he got me because he said he's gonna feed me. So I went down there. It was nighttime. It was raining. I ran inside. The wrong door.
Okay.
So there was a lobby door where you could go sit in the like the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the back where you walked in the actual audition room.
Mm-hmm.
I went in the wrong door. So I busted in soaking wet on somebody's audition.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I made some sort of joke, which made everybody laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And basically moonwalked out of there and went back to the waiting room. And then when they finally brought me in, we had to bring that back up again. But everybody was in there. And I literally just read it.
Mm.
I just did it.
Did you
I just
practice did it? Rehearse
nope.
it? So you cold read it
ice cold.
Bitch.
Oh, wow. And I, because I didn't, it wasn't.
You didn't think it would be for you.
So I was like, I got done. Mm-hmm. I made another joke. We all laughed. And I got in the car. And me and Kevin went and ate.
Okay.
And it took 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was leaving another audition when my phone rang. And my agent said, hey, they want to set up a meeting with you for that audition that you had to come back in. Mm-hmm. I said, what? It's been a month. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. They were like, the Ice Cube movie. And I was like, oh, well, what do I got to do? And they were like, well, Ice Cube wants to meet you. It's down to you and two other girls. Mm-hmm. I knew who the two other girls
were.
Who
were they?
I can't tell that.
You can't tell shit on
I know,
the show.
Right?
Right? Like,
no.
Why you throw it out there?
Because, because I said, I don't want to go. Okay. I don't want to go to the meeting because I'm scared of him.
And what's the significance of not saying the other two?
I'll tell you that later, too.
Okay.
So I said, I don't want to go.
Okay.
And they said, no, it's just a meeting. And I said, I don't want to go.
You were scared,
scared
of him?
I was because of NWA.
Really?
I love NWA. But I was like, I don't want to go. Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
Okay, and so I you thought no. You was going to run into America's Most Wanted.
I didn't know.
With the black hat.
I was like, I like him on records.
With the beanie down.
Yeah, right. With the beanie. He had cut his jacket.
That's what I thought.
Him. Okay.
I was like, nah, I'm good. Okay. And they were like, no, 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 you need to go. And I was like, nope. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 days. And they were like, look, we're going to make it the offer. But he wants to meet you. He liked what you did. Mm-hmm. And I said, I ain't going by myself. Mm-hmm. So I picked up my manager. And she waited in the lobby, and I went in and I met with him. And the first thing he said to me was, I liked what you did because you didn't act like the husband was a little bitch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because he's not. Mm-hmm. He's aspirational.
Right.
But he is not a little bitch. Mm-hmm. And I said, because the sides, if you read the sides could make it look like she's doing this constantly. Mm-hmm. And like you little bitch. And then right. I'm out. Right. You know, and I was like, nope, because I don't like the way that looks. I was like, it's not necessarily the right choice, but it was a choice I made, which is another reason in the room when I made that choice, I said, I don't think this is going to go any further because they want this mm-hmm. girl, you know, they want you to be like,
Yeah.
And that's who they were bringing in that could do that really well. And I was like, yeah, I can, but I don't want to make that choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what made him like it. He said, because I don't feel like a bitch.
So, but for you, being that you were fearful of him, so now you meet him, what did you think?
Nicest family guy I've ever known.
Yeah.
Sweetheart. Not scary at all. I told him though. I was I'm scared of shit of you. I was like, I wasn't going to Chicago and nowhere else with you.
What'd he say?
He laughed. We still laugh about it.
Okay.
You know, two movies later, we still laugh about it. But no, he's not at all what I thought. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
So after you have the meeting with him, then they offer you the part.
They did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we went to Chicago for 3 months.
Okay.
In the winter.
Was that your first time to Chicago?
No. I had been to Chicago a lot, but I'd also worked in Chicago. Okay. I'd done some independence there. But I had not really worked for that length of time in the winter.
Okay.
Which is another. Mm-hmm. And I've been in California for a long time, away from Ohio. Mm-hmm. So that weather was not okay with me.
Right, right. Like, and you also got to work with Cedric the Entertainer, right?
I did, yeah.
What was that like?
Awesome. He's just, you know, we had, the reason that movie broke records when it did mm-hmm. is because it was a bunch of talented people getting together, doing what we love to do mm-hmm. and not for any purpose except that we'd love to do this.
Right.
And Tim Story was new. Mm-hmm. As a director, he was really new and he got it because they had other directors that, you know, were up for it and stuff like that. But he came in super prepared. Like he had storyboarded everything. And when you're new, I guess you got to be more prepared than when you're established.
Right. Absolutely.
And he led the ship, but he gave everybody the room mm-hmm. to do what we do.
Right.
And the reason we were hired is because we was doing, that's what we do.
Right.
And he gave us that room, that latitude, and mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. Like it was a good experience. It was always a good experience.
I'm curious, what did you think of Cube as an actor and a producer before you actually got to work with him?
I didn't really know he was an actor. I mean, I didn't.
I mean, you
really
Boys
paid
in
attention
the hood
to
and
him,
shit, right?
Yeah, but that was him being him.
Yeah, right. So, no, I always say, yeah, that. Cube like, is Cube, no matter what he does.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, now that you're up close and personal with him, did it lend a new respect? Like, oh wow, okay, I really see this guy as a, you know, he's in this lane, he's doing it at a high level.
Or I think he's good at doing what he does.
Okay,
being him, and I don't think anybody can do it better. And I think when he has the right vehicle, that's when he is at his best.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And right. I mean, I wouldn't put him in Shakespeare.
Okay,
but he can really transform when given the support cast around him
mm-hmm.
to help him get there.
Okay.
So yeah, no, as far as a producer, he's one of the best businessmen I know.
Absolutely.
Period.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah.
So when you guys did Barbershop One, mm-hmm. I'm assuming there wasn't a two and a three in the talks at that time.
There was always a two.
There
was always supposed to be a two.
Okay.
And two fell apart because our producers at the time and our director, Tim Story, at the time, mm-hmm. fell out.
Oh, okay.
And so two was, they needed to make a two.
Mm-hmm.
So they got another director who took the script that Tim wrote, which was brilliant,
mm-hmm.
and it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got another director, and we didn't have as much fun.
Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. So part two was kind of, it was a bad experience.
It was not a good experience.
What was bad about it? Was
everything.
It just on set, everything?
It starts from the top down.
Really?
And when you come in and you say, I want to put my own stamp
mm-hmm.
on a sequel,
mm-hmm.
we're already established.
Right.
You knew.
Right.
And he's like, we here. And yeah. then you bring in almost a second cast.
Yeah.
It was almost an entirely different cast.
Right.
We were the side. Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ah, so he brought in some new shit and pushed y'all to the side.
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
So, and that didn't sit well with Cube
yeah.
at all.
Okay.
So, yeah, two almost didn't happen, and then it did reluctantly. Like, in the first movie, we all stayed in, it was a very small hotel,
yeah.
right, in Miracle, off of Miracle Mile.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very much a family.
Yeah.
And two people, I was doing Line of Fire for two mm-hmm. at the time, so I would work 3 or 4 days on a movie, and then I would go home mm-hmm. and do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in and out a lot. Everybody was in and out a lot. Before, we just stayed there together. We all just, when we weren't working, we'd go down to set and hang out and then all go to dinner. It was a family. This time it wasn't, because there was them and then there was us.
Mm-hmm.
That cast and then us.
Mm.
And it wasn't the same experience.
So it translated to screen, you think?
Yeah, it was our least successful one.
Wow. Wow. Three did better than two.
Three did way better than two.
Oh, wow.
Three was a good movie.
Yeah. So let me ask you, did you know about the pre-existing old beef between Common and Cube before going in?
I did not.
You didn't?
I still don't know about it. I didn't know there was a thing.
Okay. So you didn't see
it. So that was for three, though.
Okay.
He was not until three,
okay.
Common.
But you didn't see anything? Like, they were cool?
No, they were great.
Okay. Which I knew they had squashed it, but I didn't know if maybe, you know, people
know
say that
it.
Shit in front of people. But you didn't know about it?
No.
I'm just letting you in on that?
Right now.
Oh, wow.
Did you know about
that? Yeah.
Everybody knew about that. They had rap beef.
Yeah. Really?
They dissed each other.
I did not know.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it started with
Common was a sweetheart.
Yeah, Common's the man. So it started with Cube.
Oh.
No, it started with Common first. He did a song.
Talking too much.
No, he did a song talking about basically how rap had moved, you know, from being kind of innocent and conscious, and basically once it got to the West Coast, it turned into something else, you
and
know, with the
Cube
gangster
took
shit.
That personal.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So then Cube took a shot at him with, was it Bow Down? So
a
Cube,
song.
I believe, took a shot at him with West Side Connection.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then Common came back with a song called The Bitch in You,
oh,
which
geez.
He went right at Cube.
That is not going to work out.
And then I want to say Cube came back again, right?
Yeah, I'm looking them up.
Yeah, but yeah, that happened. They,
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, that's hip-hop history. That was a classic battle.
Wow.
Yeah, they went back and forth. But, you know, they squashed it. Like, man, they put the bullshit to the side.
Yeah.
You know, everybody grow up. It was really some rap shit. It wasn't. There was something that had happened. I don't want to misquote it. But there was a little bit of drama behind,
uh-huh.
you know, somebody got beat up. Yeah.
Who?
I think one of Common's guys got whooped by Mac-10 and, and Ice Cube's guy.
I wouldn't be that shocked about
yeah,
that.
But it was some rap shit. It wasn't nothing
I
serious.
I did not know.
You didn't know that?
Mm-mm. Look
wow.
at you educating me.
That's what I do. You know
I
that.
Love it.
All
I'm
the
into
time.
It. What else can you teach me?
So So fast forward. So two comes out. Mm-hmm. Well, one explodes.
It's
super successful. Yes. Two comes out is and mm-hmm. three comes out mm-hmm. and you're.
It did well.
So what was that feeling like? You have three successful mm-hmm. movies, your most successful at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What was that feeling like? And I know you're getting to the bag. I know you're getting the big money. So what?
Yeah, it was good. But no, I didn't, you know, by the time, I don't know. I don't sit around. When I'm done, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I move on to the next project.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't sit around and be like, yeah, you know, I feel real good about my life right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
But sometimes, I mean, that. You have to.
I should.
Yeah, you should.
I don't.
Yeah, sometimes you kind of.
But you know that I don't. I right. need to take a minute sometimes.
Yeah. And breathe deep. You know, sometimes take it all in.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't take it all in.
No, it's always on to the next thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to learn how to take it all in.
I should.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on that.
Work on that.
I'm gonna try.
Yeah, work on taking it all in.
Taking it all in. I take it all in.
Yeah,
I can do it.
I believe in you.
I believe in myself.
Right. Does anybody know what we're talking about? Ken is like, look.
He's like, I'm so off. I've been off the grid for about 20 minutes.
Making sure the audio levels are good at this point.
He's working over here.
He's like, I already know y'all on some.
Some bullshit.
But
I just lower you every time.
But
right. Yep.
So now from Barbershop, you got that under your belt. Mm-hmm. Then what's the next step from there?
Barbershop, which one?
Three, after three.
That was just in 2016.
Right.
I went on to do another show.
Cause I
met you.
Oh, yeah. You did.
Promoting Barbershop 3.
You did. You met
me. The first time.
Yeah, that's right. You sure did. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was there.
That's why you met me. You came to my other show.
Yes.
With me and Master P and Jay Tweezy.
That's right.
Doing the most.
I wasn't doing the most.
The show was called Doing the Most.
I never knew that.
How are you coming to a show?
I don't know most of my shows. Hey, they say, go here. I say, okay.
Yeah, so you showed up to our shit and it wasn't even...
No, I heard it was Playboy Radio. I was like, that sounds sexy. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. You know the name of this motherfucker that you're on right now?
Holding Court.
Okay.
I got it.
You got it.
I got it now. I won't remember it like 6 months from now, but I got it now.
Of course you will. You talk to me every day. How you not going to remember it?
I did not know it's called Doing the Most.
Yes.
No one ever told me that.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's where we met.
How fun was that?
That was super fun. You came on
2016.
You know, yeah. Great spirit, great smile. You were so personable.
Like
so
now.
Professional. You know what
like
I'm saying?
Like
that. Yeah. I didn't realize that you were, you know, could be as ratchet as you were, as you can
a little
be.
Bit.
Yeah.
But not really.
Yeah, because you know, you come off, you know, the Barbie doll, you know, kind of.
I'm not a Barbie.
You know. Yes, you know, kind of staunch.
Never let me do that.
Yeah, kind of staunch. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think I'm staunch?
No.
See?
Not at all.
Yeah, but he didn't see you like I saw you coming to Doing the Most.
Oh, how did I look doing that?
Well, no.
I was introduced and already knew this relationship. So, I mean.
So you already had an idea.
Yeah.
Well, he figured you my friend and you low-key on some bullshit.
I have to be.
Yeah.
It's already a different vibe walking into the building.
Anybody associated with me is, you know.
Yeah, I already know. You know.
We all a little unsavory.
I was staunch.
A little nefarious.
Doing the most.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Classy.
No. Distinguished. Do that again.
Classy. That's what I was.
Classy.
I was classy.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know you could talk like that.
I could talk all kind of things. I could do all kind of things.
I've never
heard
you talk
I got about
like
12 different accents. I'm not even kidding.
Can you do New Orleans?
No, but you know, well, I can. When I hear it, I can. But you do a great, you said, baby, real, you were so deep in
New Orleans, yeah,
it was good. No, I can do. You know, I can do a few.
New York.
I can. Which borough? Because they all sound different.
Brooklyn or Bronx.
Bronx is more Puerto Rican, and it's more they say. You know, just give me some water, okay? I just want some water, and that's all I need, okay? And I was like, they're very.
That's horrifying for me personally.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Where are you
I
from?
Forgot.
Let me
no,
hear
he's
yours.
he's got a Puerto Rican ex-wife from the Bronx.
Oh, I just
from the Bronx.
You just brought up bad memories.
Boom. Nah, we're good. Her and I. we got two kids together.
You got to be good then.
No, we solid.
Okay,
we
see, solid. Look at that.
You didn't my family in the Bronx is still solid.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear your accent.
You're hearing it. I'm not an actor. This is it.
Oh, this is what you sound like. Oh, that's all you got.
This is it.
All right.
This is what I'm giving you.
Okay.
Right now.
Do you. I want to hear New Orleans.
Do Kansas City.
I can't do Kansas City.
Why you can't do Kansas City?
I don't think I can.
You're listening to Kansas City, right?
I know, a little bit. But he goes in and out of Kansas City.
Yeah.
He goes in and out.
My homeboy from Oakland, he said that my dialect is all fucked up.
It is. You have such a mix.
Yeah. I go through Kansas City, then L.A., then New Orleans.
Yeah, but it depends on how you're feeling and what you're talking about.
Right.
People tell me I sound like I'm from the South all the time.
A little bit.
That's what Chico said.
That.
He said, you're from Louisiana.
Chico who?
Right. Chico Brown. Oh. That's my homeboy from Compton. Snowfall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, this is Sacramento. You're getting Sacramento right here. This is what it is.
At least you didn't do Oakland.
So do a Southern one.
Well, which part of
Atlanta.
Oh. I like Atlanta. Atlanta. Okay. I'm going to tell you a story about Alyssa. It's just a tiny story before I do that. I got onto an Atlanta accent, not for myself.
Yeah.
I was doing a movie in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody I knew that was not a super attractive person.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking on the phone about I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't sound like this, but he did Atlanta. And he did one good to me, and I was like, I'm going to slide off this whole chair. I became instantly attractive. It was like attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not physically, but just that whole
What'd he say?
Atlanta. It was just a whole, I can't.
What'd he say?
He was just imitating Atlanta people.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't even matter what he was talking about, but he mm-hmm. did that accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, maybe I am a little bit ratchet.
You think?
Was that sarcasm?
I'm just saying, you think?
I realized how much I liked it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you talk that way to me.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
So you like to do the character? You like to play roles and shit?
I do, yes. I have one. Her name is Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
She's a prostitute.
Okay.
And she lives in Vegas.
Uh-huh. Let me hear.
Why would you meet Delicious? You got to pay Delicious. She don't play around. And she lives in Vegas. So it only happens in Vegas.
Oh, that's a real. I thought that was a role you played.
No, that's a.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Yeah,
I thought that was like your Sasha, one of your alter egos.
She is me.
Okay.
When I'm in Vegas.
Oh, but you got to pay her.
Yeah, you got to pay her.
How much she charge?
Depends on what you want. She'll do anything you want.
I just
want
to hear her talk right now.
No, she sounds like me.
Oh,
she just maybe has a little. I mean, she's a little bit softer.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit more rough edges, but yeah. She's very accommodating.
Delicious, huh?
Her name is Delicious.
She got a Cash App.
You know,
you got a Cash App set up for her.
I don't, but apparently I should. Yeah, she's
she has a rate sheet,
right? But she'll come. She goes downstairs to the lobby. She'll call to the room, and you know. And
has Brian met her?
Brian has met her.
Okay. What does Brian think about her?
I don't think Brian takes full advantage of Delicious.
Really?
Yeah, I think for his money that he's paying.
Yeah.
Now, she came about from my ex.
Okay.
In Vegas.
Okay.
He knew how to definitely
so
capitalize.
So Brian ain't trying to fuck with Delicious if she came from another nigga. Like.
Well, he you know, she's a
Let's rename
She's a prostitute.
Let's rename. Let's give her a new
Well, name. I did at okay. the time. And uh-huh. then she just turned back into Delicious because it is what it is.
Damn. So you like the role playing. This is a real freak right here.
What happens in Vegas?
Stay.
Yeah, but it was good because you call from downstairs and like, do what you want. And you say what you want and you say, this is how much it's going to cost. Have my money at the door.
Okay.
When the door opened, hand me my money.
In 2021, she needs an OnlyFans.
She does need an OnlyFans. You know right?
Is she going to do her OnlyFans?
No.
Why not?
Because she's retired. She's older now.
Oh.
She's only does in person.
There's a market.
No.
There's a market.
Slow down, Tonto.
There's a market for that.
Yeah.
Well, she's not old.
She's a cougar.
She's just settled down more. Okay. She's not a prostitute any longer. She's a call girl, so she only has maybe 3 clients.
Oh.
As opposed to, you know.
Are they high paying clients?
Big
They probably would be.
Okay.
You know, we got to, you know, we'll bring her back out of retirement maybe.
Okay. All right, then.
I miss Delicious.
Wait, we still never got the Atlanta accent.
Yeah.
We skipped right over that.
I know, right? Okay.
She just talked about how excited she was about the
That's because that was a guy that
yeah.
did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women talk different. They don't, they're, you know, just depends on what part of Atlanta they're from and how.
Yeah, for sure.
How
Can you do Boston?
Can I do it? No, I don't. Baltimore. I mean, I only know one word that you. People in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
And you.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's you.
You do it good. Look at you. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's,
court is a thespian.
Very specific.
Can you do L.A.?
I think I am.
No, you're not.
What do I sound like then now?
Columbus.
You don't even know what that sounds like.
I do.
Midwest.
I spent a lot of time, yeah.
Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest.
Okay, let me hear you do L.A.
What, L.A.?
Yeah. Please don't sound like... I already see it.
What you want to hear me say, homie?
No,
homies.
That's
on the dead homies. That's
oh,
on
that's
on me,
South Central.
Yeah, that's on me, cuz.
Oh, that's LA.
That's on Crip. That's on Mamas. Yes. That's on Jesus Sandals, cuz.
Okay, Jesus Sandals.
Yeah,
that's on me, homie.
I see.
Yeah, that's okay. LA, and you know they stand with the Y stands.
But I like that though. I like. Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
It's like nothing happened below here, just all up here.
Yeah.
That's true.
But you can't do Kansas City. That's crazy.
No. I haven't listened to it enough yet.
You talk to me every day.
But you have a mix. Okay. You're not just straight Kansas City.
All right.
You've been here for 20 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people say I sound country. Some people say
I sound a quarter of
LA.
Your life.
Yeah. Some people say I sound a quarter.
It was a shot. She took a shot.
Right.
You I think I caught it.
Yeah, you see, it was slow. It was on a little short like, yellow bus.
It would normally be faster than that.
Yeah, you see, I got it.
I was like, see
my
it.
Eye went.
Really? That's the cough. She said, slide something. Okay.
Yeah, I was about to start talking. I was like, hold up. Our facilities
old
is faster
of your
than
life.
That. Yeah. So, but I want to, so you do the barbershop, all that shit. So you're a successful actress. We got that.
Yeah.
When did the producer shit come in? Did you say, fuck it, I'm a boss?
No,
up?
It was before I was an actor.
Really?
I actually, yeah. I started producing before I knew that it was called producing, before mm-hmm. I knew that. I was still in the music industry, and a friend of mine, I went to see a play, a small play, 99-seat theater. Mm-hmm. I think 9 seats was filled.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good play.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. And I was like, I said to him, he was a friend of mine. It was in the play.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, why don't you guys, why are there so, first of all, why are there so few people here? Because this is really good and you guys are really good actors. And this needs to go on the road. And he said, well, we're about to close. We don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do people need to see this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it on the road. I didn't, but I kept it there. I found an investor. Mm-hmm. And I said, we're going to make a couple changes in the script to make it more sort of universal, and we did, and kept it in there, and it stayed in that 99-seat theater, which finally got filled up for probably 3 or 4 more months.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, this same actor was doing a short film, and he said, well, can you help me put this together, because I really want to do this short? And I said, yeah. And that was my first time in production, hiring crew and doing sort of putting a small project together. And then after that, I just did my own and kind of spiraled from, and then I became an actor. But yeah, no, I was producing before I was acting.
Okay. Do you get more, is it more gratifying to do production than it is to be an actress? Just you as an artist and as a businesswoman.
I love turning into other people as an actor. I love having a different voice and saying things that I wouldn't say and doing things that I wouldn't do. But I also have control issues, and being a producer and being on the other side of the camera as a producer or a director is just appealing to me because I get to say what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As an actor, I don't really get that choice.
Yeah, I work with you as a co-producer. You definitely want it done your way.
That's so
hey,
wrong.
Ken, listen, man, we didn't had... I have to tell her husband on her. He didn't. I'd have had to pull him.
He has told on me.
I'd have had to pull
Who does
her husband
that?
In the referee.
Who does that?
Yeah, it's so funny because I
he
put
told on me,
and I put Brian over. He's like, and he's a lawyer, so he's like, I remember him saying, "I mean, look, man, you guys aren't that far apart on this, but it's kind of like, nigga,
middle.
I gotta live here. Like,
yeah,
what are you no. doing?
I was no. mad.
That's a good
stomping
a good
around
move
the
on
house.
His end.
Yeah, that's that lawyer end. Shit. He was like, yeah. Look, man, you're not that far apart on here.
We can
okay?
figure this out. Yeah.
So I was
when
like,
a judge and a DA don't agree on
right,
that.
Right.
We was arguing on the phone, and I was stomping around. The
I was
house
like,
and
Brian,
I remember Brian
said,
like, "What's going on?"
I said, "Brian, you live with her, dog. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, don't act like you don't." He was just kind of like, yeah," like he wanted to mouth. You know what I'm saying? I could hear it in his voice. He was like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, but.
But I was right anyway.
You weren't.
I was.
You weren't. See, but you
what
weren't.
What happens to this? We just.
You heard that I was married to a Puerto Rican. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not. Right. I'm just going to stay silent. Pick your battles. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I win. I'm right most of the time when we have our battles. Right.
He just doesn't.
Just
know
depends it. On the hill you ready to die on. You know what I mean?
Ready to die on. Why do we fight so much?
Because of
why don't we ever agree?
Because of your
right
control,
away.
Your control issues.
Oh, it's my fault.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
I really thought something else was coming up.
What? No. I mean, you know, I'm easygoing. You know that. Yeah, you know, sometimes you be wanting to control shit. You know what I'm saying? And I let you, or sometimes I let you think that you are. Mm. But, you know,
is that what happened?
Yeah, I let you think that you running shit sometimes. But no, on a serious note, I mean, you know, I defer to you a lot. You know, I follow your lead a lot.
I appreciate
it. The only time that, see, what it is she tries to control me.
She's got the resume.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know what I mean? I defer to her in terms of how we do things and go about things, especially when I don't have the information. But what she will do.
I try to control you?
Yes, you have.
How?
Yes, you have. She's tried to, Ken. She didn't try, because what the argument was about.
I don't even remember.
I remember.
Okay, tell me.
So, Ken, you've been knowing me 20 years, bro, right?
20 plus, yeah.
You know. Man, listen, I'm a chief. I'm a reformed gangster, right? Yes, so you know I'm always kind of even keel. I never show much emotion. You know that, right? I'm always, you can't really read me for real.
Oh, I know. This is not that argument.
That was that argument. So she
she
got mad at me because she said that I wasn't given
because
our
I
actors.
I wanted him to be a producer in a different way than he was willing to do it.
So what it was, Ken, is she wanted me to be more expressive. As a producer, she wanted me to give more positive, you know, reinforcement.
Our actors needed to feel an energy.
Yeah.
That I was giving them, but the other person wasn't.
But my words, I said, no, good job. I was digging that. Or I gave them notes, right? But because nobody could read me in the room, you know, she had a problem.
Did you want him to be like more aggressive in the
delivery?
I just
wanted him to be a little bit more animated in his positive vibes and words to our actors who needed some positive reinforcement.
It depends because so like again it's my brother, it's 20 years I play it close to the chest like remember when we was out pitching it's years ago and I was like I might not be able to bring court on this one because he had said I'll slap a motherfucker like he went in like
I know that I there's know various that.
There's various levels where it's like I know which
but he knew it I know was where a positive to bring him. Thing I just wanted him to be more expressive, a little
and
bit
I
more
was.
Animated.
I was.
With his positive
I
reinforcement.
I was. I did.
To,
my words.
On your version. That's
so,
your
so,
version.
So, Ken, what
but
I was,
admittedly, if you're not close to court, he's not good at small talk. We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not be good about getting that energy. You might.
He wasn't good at it. So
that's
right.
But that's why it's a co. It's why it's a co-partner.
But I feel like
that was earlier on. Yeah. And
see,
we have rectified that.
But Ken, if I tell you. Hey, because even with us, Ken, right? I tell you, good job, bro. Good job. Don't I tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need from me, huh?
I say the same.
Yeah, you don't need me to say, Ken.
No.
Man, hey, listen, Ken.
Actors are a different breed, though. Actors are a different breed.
Man, I'm not.
And we were in the room.
You do have to sprinkle them with.
There was a chemistry. It was a screen test.
Right.
And they needed to feel something coming off of him. And they didn't.
My words were enough.
Like, you didn't get your words out until after anyway, and they weren't a lot of words.
Yeah, it was a good job. Shit, what the fuck else they want me to do?
So we didn't agree.
Yeah, so she told
and
me
we
basically.
We decided to talk.
She was like, I can't take you in the room where we pitching this. Like, nobody can read you. I'm not doing this. No, we're going to leave
scare
your ass.
All the people.
That's what she was saying. I'm going to leave your ass outside the
room. I didn't say your ass. Maybe I said.
Yeah, you did. You was mad.
I was mad. I was really mad.
Yeah.
I was really mad.
And you're talking, you walk around here talking about putting people in the trunk of Cutlasses. That's not how we do it.
I mean, we come from the same place, so
you know
I understand.
What
I
mean? That's what
I
she
understand.
Said. You always want to put somebody in the trunk
now,
of a Cutlass.
Then, I was like, no.
Because I told her, I said, well, I'm not worried about because, you know, she's teaching me the business.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck about a contract.
Oh
we'll change his mind.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know what I mean? taking nobody to court? Put his ass in the trunk.
Yeah.
Like, you know where he live, right? And she's like, no, we can't do that.
Can I tell you, I'm not going to say names, but there's been other instances that I've been around. He said, but you know where he live, right? To
somebody. I have no doubt about that. No doubt about it.
I mean.
Close friend of ours. Close friend of ours. That conversation just happened.
I don't know. To me, it's like. So that's, you don't see that as a viable option in conflict resolution?
Nope.
To create an environment where you can manipulate a person to, you know, because some motherfuckers disrespect is all they respect. Some motherfuckers got to be pressed like that.
I agree.
I'll be honest with you. Like with Suge Knight, we talked about him earlier, right? He did a lot of bullshit, but in this business and in the world in general, he wasn't all the way wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with, you know, powerful people with the machine,
because
they'll try to make you uncomfortable in their world. Then you have to figure out a way to make them uncomfortable in yours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you pressing me up in the boardroom. I get it. You moving, throwing your weight around. Yeah. Well, it's up to me to, I throw my weight around once you leave the boardroom.
I know.
You know, so it's all fair.
I think we have grown as a partnership.
Absolutely.
Since that fight.
It's not new, though. That's not new. I mean, if you're like a historian with TV,
right,
like,
right,
that goes back to, like,
yeah,
The Godfather, right?
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
They wrote that, and then the Italians went into the writer's room and was like, this is how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, people have been throwing their weight around in Hollywood.
Same
like
thing for with sure. American Me.
So you guys are a good partnership. You're the business side, and every now and then you got the muscle.
Yeah. Because, you know, I told you, when we did this, I told you, I said I would always protect you. I said, I trust you to protect me dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to protect you dealing, you know, with everything else. And haven't I done that?
Keep
you warm and safe. You know,
I feel so snuggly.
Yeah. I ain't pushed you
all
down
good.
On the rocks.
Not
I ain't
yet.
Got you
nope.
in the elevator.
Nope.
No
elevator
nope.
rides. You know
nope.
what I mean?
You didn't ride on my back from
Nothing.
The elevator.
I ain't
none
done
of
none
that.
Of that.
Not yeah. yet.
But you got quads. I bet you could carry me on your back.
I think I could.
Think you could?
Yeah.
We should try.
We'll give it a ride.
I want to see because I got my D's back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm two. I don't know. Maybe 235 somewhere.
I think you might be more than that.
Yeah. I'm gonna hop on your back when we get off the camera. I'm gonna see if you can do it.
I think I can do it.
Really? You don't need to warm up them knees.
My knees is good. You don't know my knees. You don't know about my knees, but I got good knees.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You got Megan Thee Stallion good knees.
They might not be that good.
I was gonna say Megan Thee Stallion got some
That's
knees.
Some
got
difference.
Some knees.
And she got some weight behind her, so them knees is feeling it. No.
That little chick.
They good, but not no.
That little chick ain't gonna have no cartilage in her shit by the time she's 30.
Literally. She's gonna be getting knee replacement. It's all but you know, she use them now though.
Yeah.
I got good knees.
Yeah, she using her knees?
Back strong.
Is it? You're strong. Really? Lower back strong?
Core. It's that core strong.
That core strong? Your lower back strong?
All
too?
That.
Really?
The whole girdle right here, this part.
You got on a girdle now?
No, that's what it's called. You should know that.
I
from your
this
core.
Shit was
just... No, all this all the way to the back, your back is okay. called your girdle.
Oh, okay. That's why they call it a girdle, huh? The thing that
Maybe.
The old people wore. Remember, old women used to wear girdles.
The tangents on
I ain't that old, so I wouldn't know that. But yes, I think so. Or they wear Spanx now.
Spanx. Okay, yeah.
That's like the same. Like
yeah, the legs.
Undergarment. Not just legs.
Okay. I thought it was a corset.
No.
That's something
waist
different.
Waist trainer.
Waist trainer. Okay, fuck. I don't know. All right, back on you.
So Barbershop 3.
Right. So Barbershop 3. As a
You're
producer.
2021. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2021, I mean, what are you working on now?
Nothing.
That's bullshit. Come on, how you gonna disrespect our shit? You got a bunch of shit. I know what you got going on. But
I
you
have
can tell
some
the people.
Stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have some. On May 28th, I'm Welcome Matt coming out, which
right.
I was in, and I produced it as well. And then another movie.
Who are your co-stars in
after,
that?
Taj Mori
mm-hmm.
and Dion Cole
mm-hmm.
and Gigi Townsend, who was in.
You produced that movie?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Congratulations. No, I just I knew you were
you were
in
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's dope. It's in theaters and on
May 28th and on streaming and in theaters.
Dope.
And then end of June, I have a movie that I produced called Domino that's
mm-hmm.
coming out. It's about dominoes.
Okay.
Which is fun and interesting. And then we have 12.
Talk about 12.
12 is fun. 12 is How am I talking about 12? You don't want to came up with 12.
It doesn't matter, but you're the co-producer. You're here. We want to hear you say it. 12. Because Sticky talked about it.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was mad. He texted me.
What?
Why wasn't I here? Why didn't you do us on the same day so we could go hang out and then we could go eat?
Tight schedule.
Yeah. No, you came to me, obviously, with 12, and I liked it immediately and thought it was something that we could really develop into something that has legs and could go, you know, could rival other things that are on television now.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about you and the show was that I think we had, the easy part was that we saw the same vision for the show immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to convince me that this is how you saw it. And I wasn't trying to convince you that this is how I saw it. But fortunately, we saw it the same.
Mm-hmm.
Which is huge when you have a partnership in a show. Sometimes people don't see things exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. And that can become hard because then you have to start compromising.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we ever did.
Mm-mm. No.
And except for, did you tell Sticky what you said when I first brought him up?
No.
That was the only, you weren't into it.
I was?
That was the only thing that I had to work on convincing you of was him.
What was my
It wasn't about him. It just wasn't what you saw when you first.
Oh, okay. Yes. You're right. You're right. It wasn't about him.
No, it had nothing to do with him.
I think what it was, I wanted him younger is what it was.
That was one aspect of it. You saw him as 30 or 32.
Yeah. They were young.
And I'm like, mm-mm, these are some dirty people. They got dirty longer.
Right.
And all I could see when you first brought it up to me was him. Because I think he was one of the first things I said is we need to call Sticky.
Right.
And you went into it and then you got into it and now.
Yeah.
See?
And what it was is, it was an age thing. Once we did, well, I was actually with it even before the chemistry read. But once we did the chemistry
read,
I was like, oh, shit. Like,
so sold.
Yeah, dude.
So amazing.
You can really bring that home. Sticky's a phenomenal actor.
He is. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that. I mean, he was Blade. He was.
Right.
But more than that, he's an actor's actor.
Yeah.
You know, he can do anything. And he has such a stigma on top of him because of Onyx and because of, it's kind of like I felt about Cube. Like I was scared of Cube.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people are scared of Sticky.
Right.
Sticky been throwing that same weight around for 25 years.
I like Sticky. That's my guy.
We've been friends for 27 years.
I like Stick. That's my guy.
Me too. Mm-hmm. He's my heart.
So 12.
12 is a phenomenal. And
okay.
While I've been sitting here, Greg texts me.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but he texts me. So
homie,
you know.
Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm excited about 12. I think it's going to change TV for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it will open doors for us to. I like that 12 is being created without fear.
Right.
I like that I don't have to say, let's just say this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to convince you. Mm-hmm. That it should be said or shot or shown or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or explained. Like sometimes you do fight that battle in the room. It's like, no, that's just too much. There's too much of this or too much of that. And let's just scale it back. You don't ever say that to me. And I hope I don't ever say that to you.
No. We haven't said that.
Mm-mm.
Me and you, we push the envelope.
I think.
That's what I love. We try to.
Right.
Because remember, as we developed in the characters. Remember I laugh. I said, damn, we fucking over these characters.
Oh, my God. I was stressed out for them.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I'm like, I need to, we got to give them a break because I'm stressed out for them.
Yeah.
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 That's true. But I think that's what's going to make it different.
I think we're going to make history with 12.
Me too.
I think that it's going to be great. I think that, you know, because at first, you know, I had power, you know, it was something I had power in my sights in terms of that's going to be our competition. But you see, it's something different. Mm-hmm. It's become something. I can't wait for the world to see it.
Me too.
I think it's going to be awesome.
And it's spinoffs.
Yeah. Oh, and it's spinoffs. Mm-hmm. See.
You forgot about
it. You know, the funny thing about it is Sticky did the same thing. We was wrapping up and he said, yeah, but I want to talk about 12. I was like, I said, oh, shit. How the fuck? Well, that's what he said. You
forgot to plug your own thing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
How do you do that?
That's what he do. You know, Sticky. Yeah. I want to talk about 12, you know. And. And so I was like, how the fuck am I gonna forget my own shit?
Right.
You know what I mean? So the spinoffs. We have dope spinoffs from 12.
There's this, that's why I said it has legs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We've been working hard, you know. So do you have any plans to get back to music?
I have never left music. I've just left getting paid from it.
Okay.
I still have friends in the industry that still call me all the time. Come do this session. Come play on this. Come sing on that. Mm-hmm. You know, just throw some background on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll do it for friends, but I don't ever want to make it a business again.
We're so far away from that part, but I feel like the music is almost like as illustrious as the acting career. Like,
yeah,
those are huge. It's huge acts.
Those are huge credits.
Huge credits.
Long time.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you're very accomplished, you know, all jokes aside. You know, I know I bust your balls all the time, but
you do.
Yeah.
You're so good at it.
But I'm very, very proud to be your friend. And, you know, seriously, on this show, that's what I created the platform for, to bring people on, to give them their flowers while they're here. I want to give you your flowers
while you're
here. Have I ever given you flowers?
No.
Okay. I guess there'd be no reason to, huh? Maybe I can send you some dandelions.
You don't do flowers.
Nah, blow them.
You're not like, you're not, he's not soft like that. Not in the word I want to use. You don't think about those things.
I don't. I'm not really.
He hardly called me and said happy birthday.
That's bullshit.
Hardly.
That's bullshit.
It was the fastest happy birthday.
I sent you a text and said how I appreciate you, how you're an amazing friend in person. And
I remember,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I did all that shit.
Circle back and look at that.
Go back and look at it.
Court is a very caring friend. I know.
I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He just treats me bad.
No. I mean, because on your birthday, I mean, hitting 60 is that's a milestone.
See? See, Shay?
By the way, if you lean over here, this is the only one that stuck out of all of them. That's the only one that stuck out in a major way. In a major way.
Don't.
That's the only one that stuck out in a major way.
Wow. I like dude.
Not anymore.
I like
you
dude.
You don't get to now.
Damn. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Okay. Wow.
Brutal.
Wow.
Really brutal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when I just read this article.
The bruises that I had.
I just read this article and it's crazy.
Scratches. I was.
So that's a real thing. Because I remember it happened while he was doing another movie. Yes, in the South that I like.
Mm-hmm. No, I read the article about what has already been published. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
And you don't know the half.
Wow.
That's just what I just read.
Right.
Just
wow.
40 minutes ago.
There's still people who have never spoken.
Damn. Okay. All right. So, but on this show, we, you know, give people their flowers.
Give them my flowers.
Yes. Here, come on. Yeah. You know, but on a serious note, I just want to say you're an amazing person and an amazing talent, an amazing producer. I appreciate you. Personally and professionally, you know what I'm saying? You hold my hand, you teach me, you protect me, you know, and
my job.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
Jasmine
amazing.
Lewis, court dog's protector.
Yeah, for sure. She
don't sleep on no muscles.
Yeah. So,
I got him.
No, I'm not.
But
I'm
yeah,
not doubting.
Just want to give you your flowers.
Thank
and
you, darling.
Us as a community, you know, we love your work. We love everything you've done. We love that, you know, that bright smile that I know is so ratchet and devious, you know what I mean? But we appreciate you, my love.
And we're pulling up on Billy.
Yeah, we pulling up on Billy.
Billy Marshall got it coming.
Billy Marshall and this nigga. Yeah, that's all we know. Okay, so thank you for coming to the show, Miss.
Thank you for having me.
Jasmine Lewis.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Yay.
I'm home court, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you around back when I was down? I'm home court, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you around back when I was down? They ain't believing me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around now they see me winning. I'm home court, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.